B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. He will be back tomorrow. He has a doctor's appointment today. Has a little acid reflux he's getting worked on. So, you know, you got to figure out what's what. No, I'm saying that's not.
Why are you telling everybody that?
That's a minor thing. He's going to tell everybody tomorrow. He's got a doctor's appointment, but it's not. That way people know it's not overly serious.
All right.
You didn't have a heart attack.
Well, I mean, we're thankful for that.
Right. That's the whole point. Jennifer, she's in her normal spot, being herself. And then Connor is in my spot normally. But the phone number today, 610-632-0975. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. And we start whenever I'm in a big chair the same way. And that's with the word of the day. And the word of the day today is favorites. Favorites. And we'll get to it. And it'll all make sense, I promise. Favorites. And we're going to talk about sports, obviously. And we're also going to get into the heads of the Philadelphia sports fan, because I want to learn. It's important that you learn something every single day. Now, the big Jim Valvano speech, he said, you know, you find something to cry and laugh and all that stuff every day. Honestly, I don't want to do that every day. I don't want to cry. I want to laugh, but, like, I understand if I can't. But I do want to learn every day. So I want to learn something today, because we got good news. Jalen Hurts spoke today. Today, the Eagles begin practice for the Jets, and he says he will be good to go for Sunday against the Jets, and that's good for a number of reasons. Number one, he's the Eagles' starting quarterback, and you always want your players to play. That's number one. Number two, I think the Eagles are going to smoke the Jets. I think they're going to shake off what happened with the Giants, go back to that same building, and trounce the bad Jets team. And number three, that's these four reasons. Number three, I didn't have the stomach for Minshew Mania, because they go up there, they beat the Jets, and then fans would act like it was the Super Bowl, and then the fake mustaches, they return home, and even though Hurts would then be back after a week, people would all be wearing the fake mustaches, and then they'd be rooting for Jalen Hurts to do bad just so they have excuse to wear the fake mustache. And I didn't have the stomach for that. Others did. I do not have the stomach for Minshew Mania while we're still in the evaluation process for Jalen Hurts. And obviously the Sixers tonight, related to another thing, they play Boston tonight. I always hate Boston. I hope they win. They're sort of full strength with the Ben Simmons stuff still happening. Now, with all that going on, favorites. We've noticed, myself, Jen, Connor, the world, where even though he has not accomplished anything yet, Jalen Hurts is already a fan favorite. He's one of the favorites. Tyrese Maxey, also with the Sixers, when they play Boston tonight, he already is, even though he has not accomplished anything yet, already one of the favorites. We pick favorites in this city. We can pretend like we don't. Oh, it's just about winning and losing. If that was true, we would like nobody. If it was just about winning and losing, we'd like Rollins, Utley, Howard. We'd like the Union players. They're getting ready to win. We love Jim Curtin. We just wouldn't, like the Flyers, the Sixers, there haven't been a lot of winning. We wouldn't love AI. If it was just about just winning, we know that that's just not true. We have favorites in this city, and those two guys in particular are two current favorites, even though they are not the most accomplished players on their own team. They're not the most accomplished players by a long shot, yet they're already favorites. And my question, this is just a question, is why? Why do players become favorites in this town before any accomplishments takes place? We already know that for a lot of fans, Jalen Hurts is above both Joel Embiid and Bryce Harper. Guys who have been very good to great for an extended period of time, they like Hurts more. They like Maxey more. Why? T.J. McConnell is another former favorite. Nice, scrappy guy, but not a guy who lead. He's not the cause of championships, and that's what we claim we most want in this city. So in addition to the sports stuff that we're going to get to today, I am interested in that phenomenon. Also, likely at 11:59 tonight, there will be a baseball lockout, which will mean the billionaire owners will go to the millionaire and less players and say, you guys aren't allowed to sign contracts. You're not allowed to use our facilities. Basically, nothing's happening. All this money that got getting thrown around, you don't get paid in the offseason anyway, so all this stops. That's what's about to happen. And when that lockout happens, inevitably, in this city and many others, people will choose to side. The favor in this situation will be the owners. Now, we have to remember, before this happens, I'm trying to get in front of it, Connor. I'm trying to get in front of it. That baseball, basketball, you name it, pro sports is a job. It's a well-paying job, but it's a job. And every player is only getting what the free market bears. And in the case of basketball, it's phony. Like, Joel Embiid is worth how much more on the free market than Tobias Harris? Yet Tobias Harris makes more. Just to give you an idea, like, it's not really the free market there. Yet, if it comes down to owner versus player, people choose the owner, yet in their own lives, at their own job. Now, you'll say, let's say you do work for a multi-billion dollar corporation like all these sports teams are. You don't work for many corporations that have as few employees as a pro team. So you'll be a plumber working for Johnny's Plumbing, and you're Jimmy. And you'll think that Johnny should give Jimmy more money because you'd have to feed your family. Yet, when the lockout comes, automatically, for whatever reason, people will side with the bosses that they hate in their own lives. But when it comes to pro athletes, they suddenly love them. So I'm trying to understand today the mentality. How do you become a Philadelphia fan favorite like Maxey, like Hurts? By the way, I like Maxey and Hurts. I just don't like Maxey more than players that have already accomplished something. And I like Hurts, but I don't like Hurts more than Kelsey. I don't like Hurts more than Fletcher Cox. Anybody left on this team that won the Super Bowl, I like more than players who didn't win the Super Bowl. Because I prefer, me personally, accomplishment. That's what I prefer. That's what I like the most. But that's not the case for most fans. We'll say it is. But we're lying. We like what we like. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. 610-632-0975. And why? Many of you people out there listening and watching hate your boss. Hate the owner of the company. Let's be honest now. You hate the owner of your company. You think he's a low-life creep. You think he's a cheap bastard. You call him all kinds of names. But as soon as a pro athlete has a beef with his boss, you say bleep the athlete and you side with the very person that you hate. Why? Connor, why? Jen, why? Help me.
Oh, well, the owner's thing, I think there's a pretty simple explanation to that one.
Okay, go ahead.
The owner doesn't miss ground balls. The owner doesn't strike out.
But he misses. He picks the players who miss the ground balls.
But think about how often we see John Middleton in the public eye when it comes to the Philadelphia Phillies. We get a press conference once, maybe twice a year from him.
Yes. Yes.
Meanwhile, you're watching guys go out there and strike out two times a game, and you're mad at him.
But on purpose?
Not on purpose. They're trying, but at the same time. So these are the guys constantly in the public eye. And the other thing, in all sports, your eye is drawn to the shiny object. It's the player making the $150, $200 million contract, and you don't think about the guys who are in the minor leagues right now making $20,000 and getting a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every game. So you're drawn to, okay, when you think about the players, you think about the Bryce Harper. You think about the Fernando Tatis. You think about the Mike Trout who are making the $300 million contracts, and they cloud your judgment. And the owners get off because you don't have the mind's eye. You don't know what the owner looks like.
But
you don't see the owner.
I hear you, but you do know that every time a player gets a $100 million contract, there's an owner who not only can afford it, is turning a profit on it. Look at what's going on in baseball right now. That Bryce Harper contract that many of you complained about is a damn bargain. Bryce Harper's worth way more than he has. Yes, it may be uncomfortable. He's worth more than he currently makes. The owner who's writing those checks can afford it. Just like when you want your $2 an hour raise, that boss can afford it. yet will hate on that boy. I'm trying to understand, Jennifer. Maybe a woman's touch.
Oh, well, I do want to clarify that we don't hate our boss here.
I didn't say.
I just want to make sure that everybody knows it's not us. We don't hate our boss or the owner of this company. We love it. I kind of agree with Connor.
Jen really loves it. Wow, laying on. I don't think the boss likes people who kiss up that much.
Well, does the boss even know who I am?
Like integrity.
Well, our boss does, but
they like integrity.
The owner of our company, I don't think she knows who I am. I kind of am in line with Connor. I think the shininess of everything kind of clouds the judgment. So,
well, we have to do better.
Yeah, I agree.
But what about the athlete? How do you become a Philly favorite in this city?
That's tough. That's a tougher question.
That's a mental Rubik's Cube right there. Yeah. It takes a lot of turns to figure that out. It's not just one turn.
Well, we know right now that Jalen Hurts is a favorite. But we also know that he is not yet. No, I'm not saying he won't. I'm saying he hasn't accomplished anything yet. Yet he's already beloved. I'm a person who likes, see, you go out on one date. You can't be like, oh, I want to marry her. You want to marry him. However you identify, you're supposed to take time. Like, love at first sight is like real and fake at the same time. Like, you find out, like, you think it maybe. You get a spark. That's what people say. I mean, I think it's all rubbish. But you get a spark. But you don't know if it's real until time passes. Like, oh, here's a picture from our first date. Ha, 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 we were out. Yeah, the reason that's significant is not because of the first date. It was because of the 4,000 dates after that in which you can then look back at that first date. That first date was just the first step. You go, it's the most important step. Yeah, no.
You probably went home from that first date, and you might have texted another girl the next day.
You might have, right. It wasn't till she took full hold of you
right. That
she became the love of your life. So I want to know these things. The word of the day is favorites. I need help figuring out how do you become a Philadelphia fan favorite in addition to all the regular sports stuff. And why is it when labor disputes happen, we go anti our own lives and suddenly become the fan of the man. Everybody hates the man until somebody else hates the man, and then they love the man. You can't be out there loving the man. Have some self-respect. 610-632-0975. We will talk to Tim McManus at 4:30. Now, because of how I butchered General Knowledge Wednesday last week, they are not allowing me to do it this week. It is back tomorrow with Mike. It'll be a special General Knowledge Thursday. So I was told to stay away from General Knowledge Wednesday.
For real, or was it how I butchered it?
No, it was how I butchered it. So no General Knowledge, but we will be giving out later on in the program, and we'll explain how. It is still Sweets Week, and we will continue that as well. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B75 The Fanatic.
B75 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is favorites. How do we decide who our favorites are and why? When this lockout comes, we'll in a week say, oh, that's stupid Bryce Harper. The owner, go Middleton, all of a sudden. Like, that's what's going to happen. Like, let it happen. Like, oh, no, the players, how dare they want money? My boss won't give me a raise. How dare they? Like, you just know that's coming. So why do we pick those favorites? 610-632-0975. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauk in my hometown, or Westchester today. And now it's time to start our Twitter poll, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Winter is here, and Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown is your stop for snowblowers, chainsaws, and generators all season long. Get them before it's too late. Stop by their Doylestown location today or order online at paulbmoyer.com. Jennifer.
Hello. What's the biggest factor in a player becoming a fan favorite in Philadelphia? You have four things to choose from. Work ethic, talent, personality, being undersized. Early votes have work ethic winning by a landslide, 74%.
All right. So,
no sign today, Tyron.
I have to sign because we don't know how hard they actually work. This is, yes, because I believe that we think that, yeah, you work hard. We like guys that work hard. How do you know who does and doesn't work hard?
You don't.
How do you know?
There's no one's at practice. Like, even the media's at practice for like 15 minutes.
No, no. Let's say you're even if you're at practice. There are players that are better in games than practice. There's also players that are better at practice than the games. How is it just decided? Like, no. It's fine answer. I just wish there was a way we could actually quantify that answer. So that we would actually know what we're talking about.
Well, there's certain guys, like a guy down in Miami that plays basketball. They'll tell you how hard he works all the time.
He's the hardest working guy in the world. Just ask him. Like, yeah, for sure, him. But that's the problem in that if a player comes back with a new skill set, like they're better, like that means they worked, yes. But that doesn't mean that another guy who's less talented didn't also work.
That's true.
Like the majority, I know this is upsetting, and we'll get to the phones in just 1 second. The majority of pro athletes, believe it or not, work hard. The majority, believe it or not, it's not just God-given ability. And what's funny is, with the work ethic thing, we pretend like sports is the only thing you can have a God-given ability. There are guys right now working in all kinds of jobs, and women, obviously, and however you identify. They, who are very, very good at their jobs because they found the job that God made them good at. And they don't necessarily work harder than anybody else. Yeah, like Booney says, talented players that make it look easy have a tough time in the city.
They do, which is absurd.
Just because you make it look easy doesn't mean that it is easy. And that's the thing. And I think that's the thinking was, Ryan Howard was striking out because he didn't work hard. No, he had a weakness. And he probably worked his butt off to close it. And you know what? He didn't have the ability to fix it. Just like if they asked me to run a 5-minute mile. Ain't happening. I'd work my butt off. Not going to happen. I don't have the ability anymore at this age to run a 5-minute mile. That doesn't mean. So that's the part that I just want to get into the conversation. But work ethic thing. Yes, we want a guy that works hard. As if all of us work hard. And I know we like to think that every single person in the Delaware Valley works hard, except if you're back at your office and you're in your cubicle or at your desk, you look to the left of you, you don't like that coworker. You look to the right of you, you think that person's lazy. You look straight ahead at that person over there, you think that's lazy. Yet, everybody in this area works hard. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm trying to get a redefine how we figure out our favorites. Nick in New Jersey starting us off on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Good afternoon. How are you?
What's up, Nick?
Well, I just wanted to get your opinion about an opinion I have on the Sixers and Sixers and Simmons.
Okay.
And then I can answer your question if you like of what gives me a favorite in Philadelphia sports.
Absolutely.
I compare it to the Eagles situation last year. I know the circumstances were different where we kind of had that backup in Jalen Hurts. But now that I look at it, it's kind of like, okay, Simmons was Wentz. We thought we had the process complete. We thought we had the franchise. And now it's looking like it's going to crumble and fall apart. But the Eagles, though, you kind of had that backup in Hurts. While the Sixers don't really have that backup,
and we don't know yet with Jalen Hurts either,
and that's the exact point I was about to get to is we don't know now. This is starting to look like maybe Hurts wasn't the backup that we had, and now we'll
find out at the end of the year because it's easy to say that after his worst game of his career. At the end of the year, we'll find out. Hurts is playing on Sunday. I think he's going to have a good game. Let's see what he does in the two Washington games. Let's see what he does in the rematch against the Giants. Let's see how it plays out.
And I hope he does fantastic. I mean, I don't want to bash the guy. I hope
of course.
The future.
But what are you concerned about with Ben Simmons?
I was just comparing it to the. It started to look the same as like.
Very, very. The difference is Ben Simmons wasn't really backstabbed. Wentz, whatever we think about it, was backstabbed. They drafted his replacement.
Right.
I'd be mad about that. Now, I wouldn't handle it as poorly as he did, but I'd be mad about that.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's the part. That's why that's Howie's fault. Howie backstabbed the franchise quarterback, and you saw in Green Bay, like, Aaron Rodgers handled it better. Aaron Rodgers hates that organization. Aaron Rodgers can't wait to get away from that organization. It broke Aaron Rodgers' brain. It broke his brain that happened. You see the malarkey that he's talking about. You don't know what he's saying anymore. He's on there, oh, I didn't really mean COVID. So, like, you don't know. He says he doesn't know what he says anymore. He's lost. So I think that, so he just handled it better on the field. He didn't handle it better off the field.
No.
Wentz seems like a normal human still off the field.
Yeah.
Had another daughter, you know.
Right. The difference is, like, Simmons created a lot of this situation for himself.
Right.
Like, Wentz, for how he handled it, it was out of his control that hurts us here. He didn't do any of that. Now, he went out and he didn't perform, but he didn't create this situation. Like, he got hurt. He got a concussion. Like, that's kind of part of that's out of his control.
Right, concussion. Not a back, not a knee.
No.
And then so many people were like, watch him get hurt right away with the Colts. Now, he get hurt tomorrow, stepping on a crack. Who knows? But so far, he's played just about every snap of every game.
Right. Meanwhile, you got a guy.
That, oh, he's yeah. Brittle. And he also didn't miss any time last year due to injury either. So.
Missed time due to mental deficiencies and bad play.
Bad play.
Because he let Hurts get inside his head.
Right.
And Howie and whatever they did.
But I think some of that is he got to the point where the people all around him he didn't trust. That's why I think he looked to his left. I don't trust him. I don't trust him. I don't trust him. Yeah, I don't want to be around these people. Some of that, I think, is understandably human. He just should have just went and balled out and said, man, I'm going to play well, but I just can't stand it.
It was a bad year to play bad.
Right. You can't let it affect your performance, how you feel about people. That's the mistake he made. And I think that was immature by him. And Rodgers, because he's older, said, yeah, I don't like any of you, but I'm still going to play ball because I'm a grown man.
Meanwhile, 2-5 is getting all the support in the world.
Yeah.
And he's just creating issues by refusing to do something that is inherent to the sport and needs to do to be a better basketball player.
How dare you ask me to do that? You're clearly you're hatering. And I can't be around people that are hatering. Greg in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. I think the answer to the fans' favorite thing is sort of a mixture of effort, results, and... But you just can't say effort, because look at a guy like AI. I don't think he really gave that much effort in practice, but you know, he gave everything in the game, you know, and seemed to be having a good time, you know, enjoying what he was doing. And I think that's in large part what endears us to Maxey. Is, I mean, when does he not have a smile on his face? You know, I mean, he might have just got stuffed, but you know, he just enjoys the game. And I think we respect that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I also like Maxey. I'm just saying that we claim we're about winning and accomplishments and stuff like that, and I'm saying that he has not accomplished anything yet, yet he jumped right to the head of the line as a favorite. So it can't just be effort. Like, it can't be just smiling. So you mean to tell me we just like people smiling?
No.
I hope not.
You like people... I personally am attracted to people that seem to enjoy what they're doing and they're being successful. I think Maxey, even though they haven't won anything yet, you know, is succeeding at what he's being asked to do.
Yes.
And what I'm expecting. So that's kind of why I really gravitate to Maxey.
Okay, so why did so many people gravitate to TJ? Just because he was doing what he was, like, why they gravitate to him? Like, how do we pick that? So it's just, it looks like he's having a good time playing here, so we have to like him. Is that kind of how it goes?
I think in TJ, you know, I mean, people like, I don't know what you want to call him, the underdog, but the, you know, the smaller guy that seems to be scrappy and jumping on loose balls and doing stuff, doing the dirty work. I mean, that's why I like them.
I got you. I think that has, I guess that has to do with being relatable. Although, if you ever played in those, in any pickup games in your life, or any high school sports, or whatever you played growing up, you think that the, like, the lesser talented player would automatically do that stuff. That's not the case. There's plenty of lazy bad players too. Tons. You never played with a bad player who's also annoying?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so it's like, yeah, because I think a lot of people think, well, if I was in the NBA, I couldn't do what Embiid does. But I could do what no, you couldn't. Like, if you, because ask yourself, do you? Are you the type of person where you're walking around your office and you see a piece of trash and you pick it up? No, you probably step on the trash.
Oh, stop.
And, no, a lot of people, let's be honest, not everybody's like that. We pretend that everybody's like that.
Yeah.
The world would be a better place if it was like that.
There's and a lot of shopping carts that are sitting out in the middle of a parking lot right now.
Right.
Don't even get me started
right.
on that.
Now, that's one thing that I always do. And that's one thing I do when I talk about how there's always a number that I'll have where if I have a certain amount of money, that's the last day I work.
Okay.
I'm not giving notice. I'm not telling anybody. Like, literally, hopefully, like, it could happen today. And at 3:33, the number hits in the bank account. I'm just walking the hell out.
All right, Connor.
I'm out of here.
It's you and I,
mid-segment? You're not even going to get us the next
moment
couple minutes?
The money comes.
Gone?
I'm gone. Now, the odds of it happening in the next 10 years, very slim. No, odds of it happening in the next 15 years, extremely slim. But the moment it happens, I'm out of here. But you know what I'll do? Oh, how are you going to keep busy? Part-time, I would be the cart collector at a grocery store.
I love that.
I've always thought that that would be a fun job. No one's going to bother you. You're outside. There, nobody's going to hound you.
Have you ever done it? I have. I did it in high school.
Oh, really?
You did that?
Yep.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. It was remarkably satisfying.
Were you walking or were you driving the thing?
I was walking.
Because some have the driving ones.
No, I don't want the driving one.
I've
I want to get the steps in.
Okay. Yeah.
Be an older person. And that's what I want to do.
I love that.
Because I believe in that.
I'm the petty person that if I see you not put your cart back, I will walk over to you and say, I'm sorry, would you like me to go return this because you're too lazy? You think I'm the nicest person in the world, but I will definitely say that to somebody in a parking lot.
Right.
It makes me so angry.
And to that point, I think, well, see, I see, because Lynn, this is about learning. I'm learning that people have an idealized view of themselves, and they think they would do, quote, all the dirty work. Even though we know there's a lot of people out there not doing any dirty work. So it's like an idealized version. So, like, how many people do we know that unfortunately don't enjoy what they do?
Oh, plenty.
The higher percentage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
More often than not.
So the thinking is, because Maxie's having a good time, they also in their minds probably think, man, if I was doing something else, I'd be having a good time. Not recognizing that it may not have, their unhappiness may have nothing at all to do with their job. It very well may just have to do with them being miserable.
But you got to win. Because when Greg was talking about, oh, always smiling, always positive, I was saying, Kapler was always positive when he was losing every other day. And the city had nothing to do with him.
Right.
So you got to win still.
See? We're going to get to the bottom. This is complicated. It's going to take all 4 hours.
Rubik's Cube, man.
We're going to get it figured out. Joe in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to repeat too many of the things already brought up. But
that's all right, Joe.
I don't know if you all remember when Maxie got drafted that night.
Mm-hmm.
But he broke down with his parents on his side. He was crying because he wanted to be here.
Let me help you, Joe. He was crying and happy because he had reached his dream of making the NBA. He would have cried if he went to multiple cities. He doesn't mind coming to Philadelphia, mind you. But he was not crying because of Philadelphia. He was crying because I'm a millionaire now, and I've worked my whole life, and now I'm in the NBA.
See, now you're going to take the air right out of my sails.
Why? You really thought that he was crying because of Philadelphia? He was in the NBA. That's awesome. You should cry over that.
Guys that want to be here. We all remember J.D. Drew. He didn't want to be here.
J.D. Drew wanted. No. See, this is why people side with owners. The Phillies should have paid him. He wanted money. It's not that he didn't want to be in Philadelphia. He wanted money. So he went back in the draft, and next year, you know what he got? his money. He had no personal issue with Philadelphia. He wanted money. And we looked at him like a negative.
Context, because I just figured, you know, I want guys to be here. I want guys to throw themselves on the line.
But they're not going to want to be here for free. They're going to want to get paid to be here.
All right. Well, hey, I mean, you posed the question, you know, why are people fan favorites? I'm just putting out my own opinion, you know.
No. What I'm saying is that you can have whatever opinion you like. You can hate J.D. Drew forever. I don't love J.D. Drew. I'm just saying that sometimes the things that we care about aren't necessarily the reality.
No, but like when you look at like Kelsey or if you look at Embiid, mm-hmm. they embrace the city. Yes. AI embrace the city.
For sure.
You know, it just we want that as well as carrying the lunch pail and the work ethic and all that.
Now, that part, I think, is a very legitimate point there, Joe. That part, I think, is very legitimate. Wanting to be like Simmons, it never felt like he wanted to be here the whole time. So that part I agree. But just so you know, Kelsey wouldn't be here for free. Ertz loved Philadelphia. He wanted more money. Embiid wouldn't be here for free. Like, just so we know, like, maybe after they retire, they'd be here for free. But right now, Kelsey wouldn't be starting center and playing through these injuries with the Eagles for free. And to me, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes the money makes us not like the athlete as much. But none of us would do any of our jobs for free.
No, who's going to live anywhere for free? You need to have a house. You need to like provide for your family.
Right.
But there's a really fine line that the top end athletes have to skirt in Philadelphia when it comes to seeming greedy. Because mm-hmm. the blue collar, the working man doesn't love to see the penny pitch. You're already making $100 million. Why are you fighting the city over $110 million?
Because I'll tell you why. Because it's 10 more million. But, I'll tell you why.
But that seems greedy to people who are already looking at it like you're making a lot of money.
Right, but is it? Because, see, it's all relative. In that profession, you see, you can't look at it and go, well, what I do? No, because you can't do that. If you could do what they did, you'd be making the money they could make. But no one would knock, let's say, the highest paid guy who washes cars was making $50,000. Let's say that was the max contract quote for a guy that hand washes cars. I'm just making up a number, right? And you're the best in the world at it. No one can wash a car by hand like you. And you wanted $52,000. No one in the world would say, oh, this guy who's the best in the world at his profession shouldn't get the $52,000. Yet, we'll tell somebody who's the greatest at their position, who's available at the time. Like, whether you think, well, Bryce Harper just won the MVP, but whether you think he's the best player or whatever, at the time, that was the best player they could have signed on the market. Okay, he wasn't Trout wasn't available. Yet there were people saying, how dare he ask for a lot of money? You remember that? You were around
for absolutely.
That? Remember,
there are people still mad after him winning the NL MVP this year at how much he's making.
Exactly. Was he supposed? He's great at what he does. And we would not ask anyone else in any other profession to take less. Yet we do it with athletes, once again, siding with the man, which is always a sucker move. Everybody should get every dime they can get because that's what they're going to do to the people.
Yeah, because that money, if Bryce Harper was to take $290 instead of $300 million, where does that 10 go? Does that go into Joe Schmo's pocket?
Nope.
Who's working down at the Wild?
Nope.
No. It goes into the owner's pocket who's already got a valuation of $2 billion on that team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, and that's the part where I think that a lot of our favorite stuff is a bit, there's some illusions involved in it. I think there's some illusions involved with it. So we're going to get into it. 610-632-0975. But just so we're clear, no one in Philadelphia that loves it, that's a current athlete, would love it the same amount if they weren't getting paid. Just like you wouldn't like your job as much as you like your job. They weren't getting paid to do it. And that should not hold, we should not hold that against an athlete. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is favorites. How do you become a Philadelphia fan favorite? And why, when push comes to shove, we side with the man versus the working man in a pinch. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. He'll be back. Doctor's appointment today. 610-632-0975. Where the weakest favorites. Why is Hurts already a fan favorite? Why is Maxi already a fan favorite? How do we pick our favorites in this city? And we cannot say that it's just wins and losses because we'd have very, very few favorites if it was all about that, because we don't win enough around here. And, of course, the union, trying to figure out how to get in that building. It's I went on StubHub.
No luck?
Oh, it's pricey.
Just expensive.
Oh, I could buy them hypothetically. Like, they're available to purchase.
Gotcha. But,
it's actually a very good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great sign.
A person with the status of myself, if I can't get a ticket, it's probably a positive.
And the ability of that team to sell tickets, or anyone who holds those tickets and sells them on the second market at that price.
Yeah, that's cool.
The demand, that's great for the team. It's great for the sport. It's great for the city.
Absolutely. And I'm excited that they get the home game. Again, I've been saying it. A lot of times, we get right back to the phones. Soccer fans locally complain about the lack of attention that the team gets, and that's all fair. Finish the job, and you'll get that attention. In the conference finals, had extra time and penalties in the second game, extra time in both. They played an extra hour so far. Finish the job. And then all of your complaints are validated. Finish the job. Because now we'll have to check all those fans and say, we care about a winner. Go truly become a winner. And then I think they'll get more people than they have now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll get more people than they have now. But I am excited about the game. I wish it didn't. There's nothing they can do about it. Wish it didn't overlap with the Eagles.
Yeah, that stinks.
1 o'clock game, it's 3 o'clock. There's nothing they can do about it, but I wish there wasn't an overlap.
Saving grace is they probably got one of the two games on the schedule for the Eagles that you want to overlap with. Like Eagles-Lions or Eagles-Jets are the two games.
That's absolutely
true. If you're going to be in the middle of one of them... It's not a bad one. An away game against the Jets.
Kind of no excuse for the Eagles, that game, to not be over by 3 o'clock.
Yeah. It should be 30 to, 7.
That's what I'm saying, where, you obviously got to watch for your job. I have to, but, I could DVR and switch over to the soccer.
But good news, too, with the unions, you can probably wait until, the 120th minute until you're going to see something.
No, not this time. They can't keep doing that. Enough of that. I can't handle it. I thought I was going to pass out during penalties. I'm not built for that when I care.
No.
First of all, it's hard enough for me when I don't care. Like that Euro championship, it's hard enough when I don't care. When I do care, it's too much for me.
Love basketball where you get a score every 2 seconds, so you're not one score changing the game. Hockey's too much. Soccer's too much.
Too much.
Too much for the heart.
You're up in those moments. Derek in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing?
What's up, Derek?
How you doing, Jen? What I was going to say was that we like players like Maxie and Jalen Hurts, because I believe that they do work hard. We looking at Maxie from last year, making the step this year, and doing what he's doing, I could tell that he's working hard to do that. That's just not, he wasn't doing that last year.
Right, so, I agree, but do you not think that Korkmaz works hard?
Yeah, I believe he probably does work hard, too.
He's not a fan, enough. I'm saying he's not, right, he's not a fan favorite. Do you think Tobias Harris works hard?
Yeah, I believe he works hard.
Also not a fan favorite. That's what I mean. It can't just be the work, because it's much easier to name the guys that don't work than the guys that do work. And again, I like Maxie as well. I'm saying I do like Maxie. What I'm saying is that how did he become a fan favorite without the accomplishments yet?
Well, I can't really answer that, but I know that I just met him last weekend, last Friday.
Nice guy, right?
Yeah, very down to earth, humble, and he's doing a lot in the community. I mean, a lot of NBA players are probably.
But no, he's doing now. He's going above a guy his age, 21 years old, already giving back to the community. It's fantastic. There's nothing. Yeah, he checks every box. It's not, none of this is actually a knock on Hurts or Max or anybody. I'm saying I noticed that they're fan favorites. And what is it about them that separates them from other players who aren't fan favorites, who may also be good in the community, who may also be working just as hard, yet they don't grab the love the way that he does.
Yeah, that's just, it's puzzling. It really is. I don't know. I just know when I see it.
Right.
I like it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's all I can say.
No. And there's nothing wrong with that answer. There's nothing. There is no wrong answer, except when people think, oh, well, you should play for free. No. See, free labor is slavery. We did that already. Doesn't work. We don't want to bring that back. But, like, outside of that, there's no answers really wrong. It's just, and it could be something where you don't know. You just, when you see it, you know. That was like the adult video definition that a judge said.
Oh, yeah.
I can't define it, but I know when I see it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where you were going with that.
I was. That's why I didn't. You know, I was being careful. I didn't even use the word. Yes. I'm trying to be careful here. In case there's a child, I'm saying that it could be that. It could be something where you don't know what makes someone a fan favorite, but when you see it, then you do know it. But then again, Hurts doesn't check the lane. He doesn't smile all the time.
No.
And he says nothing. He's very boring. And Rent's not due every day. So, like, he's not even to say. He's a totally different box than Maxie in that way.
I was going to bring up, too, that we definitely always like people that involve themselves in Philadelphia with some character, right? Like seeing Embiid hang out in Margate, you know, down the shore.
I want a lot of people this summer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we really do love that. But again, like, I don't know that I've ever seen Jalen Hurts, you know, hanging out down on, you know.
Exactly.
Wherever.
He's pretty much out of here, too, because he's not right. He's not from, he's working out with his coach and stuff, not in Philly. He's out of here.
And then Tobias Harris, very talented basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Very involved in the community, maybe more so than anybody else on that team.
Yeah,
and people find every reason to rip the guy at points.
And he's not smiling, Maxie, but he smiles more than Hurts.
Right, he's off the court. He's a very likable guy with everything he does around the city, the way he carries himself. Not a fan favorite.
It's just that's what we're trying to find out today. This is why I want to dig a little deeper on this Wednesday, since we were not allowed to do general knowledge. They snatched away from us because I botched it. It's going to be tomorrow. What are we going to do on Wednesday? We're going to try to get a little high-minded. We're going to attempt to. So 610-632-0975. The other thing is, before we go to break, what was the update, Connor, on the great negotiations happening between the MLPA and the owners?
Yeah, so Jeff Passan had a tweet a couple minutes ago talking about the negotiations going on. The CBA expires tonight at 11:59. So per him, after a seven-minute meeting, that's seven, not 17,
seven
not
minutes.
70, not 7 hours, seven-minute meeting with top union officials, MLB negotiators are leaving the hotel where that's taking place. No sign whether or not they'll return.
So that means they got the deal done, right?
Oh, yeah. It only took 7 minutes. They worked out the salary, cap salary, floor, service time, all of it. That's great work by them. It's going to be a long lockout.
And meanwhile, there are players who are going to make more than some teams' payrolls. And then those owners then have to do welfare to those other owners, even though those owners get all that money. And I'm supposed to go, yay, go the man. Okay. 610-632-0975. A lot more show to do. We'll have Sweets Week continuing. We'll have What's Brewing with Jen. I'm looking forward to that. Actually, after the information before the show, I'm really, really, really looking forward to what's brought with
Jay. The pressure's on.
Yes, Tim McManus at 4:30. Lot of fun still to come. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson, info Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson for Mike Missinelli. He'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Ferguson. Brought to you by Corpolis Bakery and Deli. For famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. Word of the day is favorites. And we're talking about fan favorites because Jalen Hurts, good news. He says he's good to go for Sunday. It's good. I could not have stomached Minshew Mania because you know he'd have become a fan favorite. Hey, he'd go up there and beat the Jets. And then you got, then you had people rooting against Hurts because they bought a mustache or they're growing a mustache or whatever. I would not have been fun for me. Like, Minshew should play if and when Hurts can't play or if it, we find out that Hurts can't play. But we don't know that yet, so I don't want him to play. I just, like, you see, Connor?
Yeah.
You look like a guy who would be into the Minshew stash.
I'm a big Minshew stash fan.
See?
I am.
See, I didn't know that.
Didn't you dress up for him as Halloween?
Yeah, I had the mustache, and I did a little Minshew for Halloween.
See, now if he plays against the Jets and plays well, you're on Kincaid's show that Monday.
I like the Minshew.
See?
I'm a Minshew's man. I'm a fan.
See? That's what I mean.
I don't like him more than Hurts. I'm realistic about it.
Yeah, but I'm saying
there are people out there.
He goes up there and he lights it up. Now, what's happening on Monday?
There are people calling in.
Minshew, I knew it.
I don't have it in me. There are people that say, oh, you hate Hurts. No, I don't. I'm saying I don't have the stomach for, because that would be completely unfair to Hurts. Hurts might have done the exact same thing against the Jets, who stink, yet here would have come. Oh, my God. Don't you think he's a better passer? What do you think, Mike? He's a better passer?
But I also think in this city, too, that we love people with character. And Minshew has a lot of character. Yeah, and like you said, Hurts is just a little bit boring. We love the guy. We love the kid. But he does not have the vivacious character the way Minshew does.
No, he's a lot boring.
He is.
No, it's not enough.
Yeah, it is fine.
I don't think he's the type of guy that will ever get in any trouble.
Right, exactly. And that's good.
Yeah, there's no beef. I'm just saying we know, like, McNabb was a goofball.
And people loved it.
At the time.
Yeah.
Until Air Guitar. Up until Air Guitar and then losing, people loved it. And then...
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah. The Air Guitar was not a great look.
Well, too, with Nick Sirianni, I think the city was a little divided on his t-shirts and hats and everything. Some people loved it and some people really hated it. But it shows that little bit of character, you know what I mean?
If he wins.
Bingo.
He'll start to like, oh man, that lovable goofball.
Well, and you notice that Sirianni stopped wearing most of those.
Yeah, he's dialed it down.
Yeah.
It's a smart move.
He's dialed it down. I didn't want to see it anymore, and I liked it. I thought it was cute. I thought it was adorable.
Yeah. But once, he's got to win. If he wins a playoff game, he could dress up as Gritty for all I care. Do whatever you want if
city
you
would
win.
Love that.
If you lose to the Giants, you better show up in a regular Eagles polo on Monday.
Yep.
Or else you're going to get clowned.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, so that's the point. We're trying to define it. Obviously, anybody wants to about the Sixers playing Boston tonight. Anybody wants to about the Eagles coming up against the Jets. The issue is we're right in the middle of the week. Tomorrow is when we start focusing on Sunday's game. Monday and Tuesday, we talk about the previous Sunday's game. Wednesday, we're right in the middle. Right in the middle. So why has Hurts become a fan favorite without accomplishing anything yet? Once you accomplish things, you should be beloved. But we don't even always love people who do accomplish things. They were back to bull Ron Howard 7 minutes after he won a World Series. So what is it that makes you a fan favorite? Because winning is not it. Rollins and Howard, boo, right back to booing. You need more than one World Series now. We don't care about that stinking winning. Run to first base. Like, all right. You should never strike out. Like, it went right back to that. Like, boom, quick. So what decides fan favorites? And one more update before we get to Kevin. What did the owners tell the players in the MLB?
Yeah, so collective bargaining agreements, negotiations, they're done for the day.
So
they put in a good 7 minutes.
7 minutes?
Yeah.
And they decided, you know what? Whatever you say, unless when they walked into the room, all the player reps were mooning them, and with 7 minutes would then show a tremendous amount of patience. It's insane that they just go, why bother? That's a text message. Just text them and say it's a, why go there for 7 minutes?
Brian Kelly, when he was getting ready to leave Notre Dame and he had that meeting with his players.
Gave him more than that. He gave him 11 minutes.
They got an extra four.
Right, and apparently the reason it was so short was, any questions, players? And the players apparently didn't have any. But apparently the players aren't mad at Notre Dame.
That's not even agreement. That's not a guy telling them he's leaving them. And that lasted longer than the CBA negotiations.
But I'm telling you, mark it down. It's the 1st of December. Before the 15th on Kincaid's show, on Anthony Gargano's show, on Mike Missanelli's show with Devon. There's going to be people calling, talking about how the players are greedy. And they're all, I'm telling you, 2 weeks. And then meanwhile, the owners didn't even bother to negotiate in good faith before the deadline. But okay. Like, I'm telling you, don't fall for the okey-doke. Just like you don't like your boss, keep that same, I'm talking about your owner, like a lot of companies, keep that same energy with this stuff. Trust me, just keep the same mindset because it's the exact same thing. Don't be fooled. Kevin and Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah.
Go ahead, put Kevin on hold. It would have been nice to hear that, but I was afraid there might have been some profanity because it sounded like the volume was going to be high. Maybe they were arguing. Pastor in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. I think it's more about it's not who you love, it's who you hate.
Okay.
And
explain.
When you have somebody that comes beside somebody that you hate, for whatever reason, justified or not, you tend to love them for reasons that they don't deserve.
Okay, explain.
Kind of like the new girlfriend.
All right. So apply that to Philly.
Well, Philly, where you have, like, Simmons, who, for whatever reasons, we're hating him, so we got to find somebody to love.
So we love Maxie because we hate Simmons, although we loved him before that. But you're saying that the extra love that goes towards Maxie is because we hate Simmons, and he's the replacement.
You got to reflect it. There's got to be a balance in the earth. There's got to be a balance. And same thing with the football.
So we hate Wentz. So now we got to love Hurts.
We got to love him. We got to love him. We got to find somebody to love. If Hurts don't come through, we're going to find anybody that we can find. We got to find somebody we love. Just like when years ago, I was a Julius Erving fan. When Jordan come along, I'm like, he's not Julius Erving. I can't like this guy. But then Jordan scored 60 on Bird. And when he did that, I loved Jordan.
Because you hated Bird. Now that's interesting. Now, I think that applies in specific cases. But that wouldn't explain our love for, like, T.J. McConnell. Who do we hate for to love him? No. All your examples, Pastor, solid, rock solid. Like, correct. It's just that's not always the case here. You see, we're a very complicated breed of fan. Like, it's simple to be liked enough. Just play hard and win, and we'll like you enough. But to be loved in Philly is actually much more complicated than we pretend. Because I'm not even 100% sure yet if Harper's loved. Because I asked the question on my Saturday show. If Harper is going to end up with Dawkins and Reggie White as the all. And then people put in all these caveats. Like, he already carried the team. Already won an MVP. People were putting in, well, if he does this and if he does that. And that guy, he plays hard every moment. Talking about Philadelphia, he got emotional about Philadelphia. He got emotional about Philadelphia. Talks about the fans, played every game after the All-Star break, all the gamer stuff, and then won the MVP. And still, when I asked, is he going to be one of the all-time Philadelphia greats in our hearts, people put caveats. So if Bryce Harper hasn't gotten it yet, it shows it's not simple to be loved here. It's easy to be liked here. Like, all Simmons would have to do is play one game and shoot 5 jump shots and everyone forget everything that he said about them and it would all just go away. Like, I don't think he realizes that. They boo him at first. If he shot 5 jump shots in a game, which, by the way, is not a lot to ask from a point guard in a game, even if he missed all 5, after the game, man, this Simmons is different, man. With that defense, wait till those shots start falling and he would be beloved. Or he'd be liked. Love is harder here. Like is easy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But that's where the complexity comes in, is the different, like, finding that next level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's plenty of liked guys. Like, you can find plenty of liked guys on this Eagles team, and there's a lot of parts of this Eagles team that just aren't good.
Right. And it's still, like, Slay has had a really good year.
Right.
Last year he was decent. He's liked.
Yeah.
Or he's liked. And the Eagles have done nothing since in 2 years he's been here. But he's liked. It's not hard to be liked.
Right. Like, Dallas Goedert, I think, relatively, he's liked.
Liked, but he's not loved.
No.
He's not loved. Miles Sanders, liked some, but not loved. It's hard, and that's what's so fascinating to me about Hurts and Maxey jumping to, like, the head of the line.
How did they get there? By doing relatively, respect to them, right. Relatively, in the grand scheme of things, nothing.
Right. Like, Slay has done more than Hurts.
Slay could be an all pro.
Right. He's having a great season. Even last week when they lost, it wasn't because of him. Yet Hurts right to the top. Like, that's the part that I find fascinating in this city. So when people start writing all these things, oh, how tough for the fan. No, that's not the piece that needs to be written. We hate people that deserve. Every person that's hated just about deserves it. So boo-hoo. Like, we supposed to like Ben Simmons? Of course not. We should. First of all, if you say you hate the fans, we shouldn't like you. Like, you should not like people who hate you in life. That's the problem with people's self-esteem now. Guys and girls chasing people that don't give them the time of day. That's your problem out there now. If somebody, you got to like what likes you. Like, your dating pool has to start with people who like you. Not with just people you like. If they don't like you back at all, discard them. Find the best of the bunch that likes you.
Yeah, we were talking about types before the show. Yeah. We were sitting out there prepping and everything.
Yeah.
I have one main type. I like girls that like me. And
there
then we go from there.
Then you go from there.
The rest we can figure out.
Right. That's one of people's problems. If she don't like you, or if he doesn't like you, or however you identify, if they don't like you, start eliminate them and start picking from those that actually like you. And you'll have better luck. You'll have better luck. So the piece that needs to be written is, how did the people become beloved in Philadelphia? How is Ron Jaworski, who was on with Cuz earlier, beloved in this city for so long? And we looked up some things before the show. He's beloved. How? That's the much more fascinating, much more complex, much more interesting piece to read than about how tough Philadelphia fans are, how mean they are to people that don't perform and act like jerks. That's boring. That's the thing that somebody needs to talk about. The beloved people. How do you become one? Because it's not the easiest thing in the world. It's actually pretty darn hard. Joe in Pennsylvania, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
What's up, Joe?
Hello. Yeah, my name is Joe. I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm 80 years old, and I played football for Buddy Ryan at the University of Buffalo.
He might have been telling the truth, but he also could have been
Who
pranking.
Are you?
Yeah, I could have been pranking. If you weren't pranking, I'm sorry. If you were pranking, I'll tap myself on the back. Sly in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Ty?
What's up, Sly?
What's up? I got two reasons why like at least Maxie and Jalen Hurts are beloved, and it's mm-hmm. similar to what the pastor said. And for me, Tyrese Maxie is everything that Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz should have been. That guy okay. went away for the summer,
mm-hmm.
and he came back a better player.
Yes.
He doesn't put out propaganda videos. He doesn't flaunt his wealth. He just likes playing. And I think we respect that. Like the other guy was saying, we need to have somebody to hate. They ain't so much hating Ben Simmons as a person. We hate the fact that he didn't work enough to get better. Markelle Fultz didn't get better. And there's high expectations. When you have high expectations and you don't meet them, that we're going to have a problem with you, especially
Paul's right there, Sly. Paul's right there. But this is what's different, though. Maxie's expectations far lower than Simmons and Hurts.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
So you're saying it's easier for Maxie than those guys because the expectations are less?
Especially if they work harder. See, well, the reason why we like T.J. McConnell and all the other guys that mm-hmm. you talk about is because they don't have any expectations. They come out of nowhere. They seem like they work extremely hard.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you see them, like, you can say what you want about T.J. McConnell, but I remember telling Mike and them, before, I said, that guy going to end up being in that league for 10 years just because of the way he plays. He played hard enough. He didn't just play that for the Sixers. Indiana just gave him like $50 million.
Well, they gave him money. He played. He has a role.
Right.
He's a role player.
We enjoy the role player. Though.
But we should love the star here. You see, we should love the star. That's the problem. We should love the star because the role player only is allowed to exist in a championship setting with the star. You put together all role players, you can even make the playoffs, but you can't win anything. You can't win anything. So we value the side dish more than the main course. Now, if it's turkey, I get it. Turkey's overrated. But what about the other fine main courses? Is Philadelphia a appetizer city? That's not something to be proud of, appetizer city.
No, because there's certain main courses that we love, too. Allen Iverson.
He was main course.
Definitely in love with. Joel Embiid.
Well, I don't know. He got a lot of haters, He got a lot of haters.
He's polarizing, but I think he still qualifies as a fan favorite.
All right.
I think that's just the nature of today's sport.
If you did a straw poll, who would be more popular, Embiid or Maxey? As far as people, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Maxey.
Right now, Maxey is an appetizer. He's a side dish. We like side dishes more than main courses. The side dishes, you can still starve. You'll never go hungry eating entrees.
That's true.
Like, if you eat entrees all the time, you'll never starve. But sometimes those appetizers come out real small. Sometimes it's real small. You might get one little, like what is that restaurant? Tapas.
Like tapas?
Whose idea was that?
I love tapas.
You know, what if they don't get enough?
Then you order some more.
Yeah, get more tapas.
Say something about that. That feels unnatural.
Más tapas, por favor. You can always get more. They have plenty of tapas in the back. They make them.
So you guys like your pro tapas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like the tapa.
All right.
Did I just singularize? Tapas. They're always plural. I called it a tapa. No. I
don't mind the flavor. The food comes out. But I'm like, this is so small. Why don't you just give me a plate? What is this little saucer that I have?
Leaves you wanting more.
Yeah, but that's not the goal of
eating. To get people to come back.
Well, yeah. And then you get to try lots of different things.
Yeah, but sometimes, see, if you're on a limited diet, does the shrimp come back around?
Because
this little cube of steak, I can't do anything with. This little, toothpick full of steak does me no good.
So just double up on the shrimp. Two shrimp tapas.
But then you're kind of being a pig. Because someone else might want some of that shrimp. So if I take it all, it puts you in a bind.
You're really complicating the tapas.
Smaller portion. I think that they made it that way on purpose to throw people off. You leave a meal hungry and then have to stop on the way home. That doesn't feel right to me. Feels wrong. Mike in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, hey, what's up? What's up, Tyrone?
What's up, Mike?
Yo, it's my first time calling in, but I just think it go by case, and I want to piggyback off what the dude said about you hated Ben Simmons, so you got to love Maxey. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really, the real thing about that is this. It's like this. When somebody is less talented and they're working hard, you want to reward that person. So, anybody that really know hoops, you can know that Ben Simmons is naturally more talented than Maxey. He's already been an all-star. He's already been All-NBA multiple times. He's already been all-defensive. So it's like, we're looking at Ben Simmons, looking at Maxey and saying, dang, if you put in the effort that this dude put in, you would be an all-time great.
Right. Mike. You're right in that. You're right about that. I'm not saying that, again, no one in this city should like Simmons right now. Until Simmons comes out and says, yeah, that stuff I said about the fans, I didn't mean that. And he has every ability to do that. No one should like him. But that doesn't mean you should automatically love Maxey.
I agree, but we do. The TJ McConnell thing, mm-hmm. I hate to pull a race card, but when you're a white American in the NBA and you work hard and you play hard, the fans love you.
Connor, Jennifer, you guys are a lighter hue. Do you agree with what Mike just said about McConnell. that helps?
Listen. JJ Redick is still the most Googled person in Philadelphia. He's up there with Iverson.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of crazy. Like, but I understand why. I'm a Duke fan. I get it. It's JJ Redick. He's basketball royalty.
I'm not saying you're wrong, buddy.
Listen, but one more thing, too. I want to talk about you talking about the millions.
Yeah, quickly.
Talking about millions of dollars. I'm sorry. You were talking about, I just want to paint a picture really quick. Because everybody gets caught up in the idea that you make $30 million. Why are you complaining? And the thing is, when these players don't have the money, it's one thing. You're like, dang. Then they make $30 million, and they get on the team playing. And guess what? They can easily be in a room where, like you said, the owner's kid can be sitting in a seat. You heard Kevin Garnett talk about this. Mm-hmm. He goes to the back of the bus where they play cards, and the owner's kid is sitting in the seat. And he's saying, y'all not sitting here. This is my dad's bus.
Yep.
And when that owner's kid says that, no matter what – none of those guys on that team Dirty Black do not own that team. It is a reality check.
Yep. I'm sorry, we're just up against the time there. 610-632-0975. Got a little news?
We do. Phillies finally made a move.
What did they do?
They signed Corey Knebel, relief pitcher, formerly with Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
And, he had a 2.75 ERA this past year. He didn't pitch many innings, but he was an all-star back in 17. He'll be a good late-inning reliever for them. So they make a move right before the lockout starts.
Right before the lockout happens. And I think the Chris Bryant move, it's smart to wait because you don't know what the parameters are going
to
be.
Yeah, what if you signed him to like $150 million over 4 years and then there's a huge salary cap?
Right. So I actually think since no one else signed him and they were in contact with the agent, smart. Wait for the lockout. You get that deal done, and now maybe you have something. So good news, the Phillies did something as we approach the inevitable lockout in 8 hours, 8.5 hours, because that's what's happening. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we'll have the Twitter poll update. I'm interested in that. And the word of the day is favorites. And then how do you become a fan favorite in the city of Philadelphia? Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 610-632-0975. It's time for a Twitter poll update, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Jennifer.
What is the biggest factor in a player becoming a fan favorite here in Philadelphia? You have four answers: work ethic, talent, personality, or being undersized. So being undersized, I thought was going to have a bigger percentage at this point because I do believe that that is true. But it only has 2% of the vote right now. Personality has 11%. Talent has 15%. And work ethic, killing it at 72%.
Yep. The one thing that we can't measure is the thing that's killing it. Talent, we can, whoa, that person's talented. You can see a person's size. All right.
I think we want to believe that everybody has a great work ethic. Every athlete in the city has a great work ethic, but you know,
everybody works with lazy people though. Like everybody works with people that like.
That is true. I've never once worked in a place ever since I've been working since I was probably 14 years old. I've never not worked in a place where there was at least one lazy person.
There's always a lazy person.
Yeah.
At least a.
At
normally
least
multiple.
A. Right.
That's true.
Like this. See, Philadelphia, we're interesting. We're interesting. We idealize things.
Yeah. Also, work ethic. It's a very marginal difference between the hardest working professional athlete and the least hardworking professional athlete. Even the least hardworking professional athlete has become a professional athlete.
Become a professional. So whatever you think, they had to lift us in football. You had to lift a certain amount of weight.
Yep.
You had to do a certain amount of running. You had to be a certain level of proficiency in your craft, especially if you last in the league. Like if in football, let's say even 5 years to last 5 years in the NFL, you know how much hard work you have to do to last 5 years in the NFL.
Yeah, like the worst special teams player
right.
in the NFL has logged tens of thousands of hours working on the game or
right.
working on their body. Even guys like, let's take Davion Taylor, who didn't play the game until late in high school, right. barely played in college.
All
like,
the weight.
All the stuff he's done for his body is still right. thousands of hours.
All the film he's had to watch to try to make himself just marginally competent in the league to no coverages and stuff. Like,
it's a minuscule difference between the hardest working guy and the laziest when it comes to pro athletes. And yet, 73% of the voters say that's what makes
a
difference.
We just want a guy that works hard. You don't go home with these people. You don't know what they do. You don't know. And I got to be honest with you. Let's say a guy never practiced. It's a quarterback. Hurts never practiced. This is hypothetical, Alice. He works hard. and he went 30 for 30 and for 600 yards. Oh, man, I don't like that. He didn't work hard. What do you mean? You just care about the result. Like, that's the part we, at the end of the day, we only care about the result. We don't actually care how they got to it.
Right. Like, I don't mean to diminish Allen Iverson. But that dude didn't have, like, the renowned work ethic. He worked hard in game. He played hard.
Played hard.
I don't know if you could call it working hard, because when he showed up for practice, like, we know how that went.
He told us.
But you go out there, and he's an MVP on the floor because of what he does there. It's not necessarily work ethic, but he plays hard.
Right.
There are differences.
And Allen Iverson being 6 foot made a huge difference. And that's the reason that's at such a low percentage, Jen, I believe, is people don't want to be honest about most people are undersized. Like, what? Look up the average height for a male. Undersized relative to sports. I mean, not, you know.
Most, yeah, it's what, like 5'9", 5'10", probably?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but this is why this, I find this fascinating. Because Maxie and Hurts elevator right to favorite. Pum. They've been here 15 minutes. Right to the top.
Both on the smaller size for their position, by the way. We're keeping track at home.
Just a coincidence. It couldn't possibly be that when you see Maxie, you think that perhaps if things had gone differently, you could be Maxie. You know you couldn't be Embiid because you're not 7 foot tall. But I'm to believe that it has no factor that when people look at Maxie and like him, it's partially because he's their size. Even though he's sneaky tall, he's 6 foot three. I'm 6'2", he's taller than me, but in their eyes, like, he's living in the land of giants.
NBA-wise.
Right.
Yeah.
He's living in the land of giants. But that has nothing to do with it. See, this is where that poll, inaccurate. It's not accurate. Blaine in Redding, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Tyron?
What's up, man?
I just wanted to talk about exactly what you guys were just talking about with the reasons that I think that people are so behind Maxie and Hurts. Now, I think, like, one of the callers that called earlier said, I think it's also different with different situations. I think you can't really say everything about the same. I think with Maxie and Hurts, though, especially, I think there's two big factors. One, like, I think for a lot of the players, one is potential, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then the other, I think, is the situations that they were put into. I mean, with Hurts taking over for Wentz, who everybody looked at was, like, disgruntled when he left. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with Ben Simmons now and Maxie taking over. You know, I think that a lot of the fans, they don't want to, you know, have to leave it up to the general manager and everything to try to make it right and try to fix those mistakes. They're hoping that the guys we have now could possibly be those guys to make everything right. See? And I think that's a huge part of it.
So part of the favorite is you have to root for those guys harder because of previous mistakes. Whether you think Ben Simmons was a mistake or not, if Maxie's a star, then it doesn't hurt as bad that Simmons failed. And if Hurts is a star, then who cares about Carson Wentz?
Yeah, and I think with Hurts, I think it's more of just like, because it's the Eagles and they're the most popular team. Mm-hmm. And with Maxie, I think it's just for, like, the most of it is the potential of the Sixers. Everybody sees the potential. And they're hoping, you know, everybody's scared of the whole thing that's coming up about, you know, who they could trade Ben Simmons for and if we're going to actually get that piece back. So as soon as Maxie starts showing what he's been showing, you know, obviously people are going to get excited and people are going to be like, you know, man, maybe we can even add another big piece and Maxie could be the point guard. Maybe we can add a shooting guard or something other than having, you know, Green, who knows that. But I think a big part of it too is like homegrown players too. You know, I think it's a lot easier for people to root for guys that started here. And I think, like you said, with McConnell and everything too, yeah, obviously with different players, I think there's like a love for the underdog and everything. But I think realistically, everybody knows what they are. They just like to see a guy that wasn't expected to do much come in and do good.
Yeah, but I agree with all of it except the deep down, everybody knows what it is. No, I don't agree with that. I think there was legitimate people that were like, TJ McConnell's better than Ben Simmons. We should go with it. Like, I think people believe that. I don't think that was just like, I think they believed it. They were wrong.
Small portion. Like, I don't think there's a majority out
there.
See,
that's because you go the other way. You don't respect TJ.
That's not true.
What did you say about TJ?
I over-respect myself. I don't mean to disrespect TJ.
What did you say you could do on TJ?
play pretty good defense on TJ McConnell. I think he'd have a little trouble. I couldn't score on him. I'm not a scorer. I'm a pretty good defender.
You think you
move my feet pretty well.
You think that you think, honestly.
I'm lengthy. I got long arms, deceptively long arms.
He's 6 foot two. He's taller than
you. 6'2".
Yes, he is.
He's listed at like 6 foot.
No, he's not. Look at what he's listed at.
All right. Give me a second.
I'm not saying
the official listening.
I think he's listed at 6'1".
Well, now he's shrinking. He's an inch shorter than he was a second ago.
I'm telling you, 6 foot two, though. But they list him. I think he wants to be listed under because it makes him seem like a scrappy under. He leaned into it. You talk about he leaned into that whole thing. Walk around with millions of dollars. Yeah, scrappy underdog. You're rich. Shut up, underdog.
He's smart to lean into it. He got the bag from Indiana because he leaned into it.
He leaned into it. Look at little old me scrunching down.
He might be doing the most with the least of anybody in the NBA right now. I respect that about him.
Scrappy underdog from Pittsburgh. 100 million in my account. Oh.
He's 6'1".
Told you.
You said 6'2".
He is 6'2".
I like my chances at 6'1". At 6'2", I might be in trouble. 6'1".
It doesn't matter. So that inch of height is the difference between you locking up TJ and not locking him up.
Absolutely. Inches count. That floater doesn't get off at 6'1". It might at 6'2".
Arthur, Jersey, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Yo, brother, where's my man Mikey at? Was he on the quarantine or something?
He'll be back tomorrow, Arthur. Are you staying out of trouble, buddy?
I'm doing the best I can in this world I live in. You know what I'm trying to say? You know it's a tough thing.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that enough of your old things, and I hope you're staying out of trouble this time, buddy.
Well, I'm trying my best. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, I know why you're calling, though. So what do you have to say about the Eagles, Arthur? Because I already know.
Yo, brother, this is why I like you better than the other guy.
Don't do that.
Fake Italian, Mikey.
Just tell me why you called, because I know why.
About them Giants, brother. How can you? You guys are the greatest guys around. You can spin anything. You're a football town. And you want to talk about it like Embiid and Simmons.
Man, we talked about the Eagles nonstop for 2 days, and I talk about the Eagles today. But to be honest with you, I don't have much to say about the Eagles today, so I'm talking about something I have something to say about. There's nothing left to say. They lost to the Giants. Hurst didn't play well. And you guys got 4 turnovers and managed to score a measly 13 points. Let's be easy with the puff of the chest with your little 13 points with 4 turnovers. You know how pathetic you have to be plus 4 in the turnovers and only score 13 points?
Whoa, hold on there. First of all.
Oh, so you want to be talking about the Eagles?
Yeah, hold on. Tough guy. How about the catch on the 1 yard line and the dope drop that gets paid all that money and he can't make the catch?
You think we're happy with that fella? I don't think he should be dressed this Sunday.
Here you go now. Whoa, I didn't know you had all that heart in you to say that.
I don't think he should be dressed on Sunday for doing that, Arthur. Now, I want you to do me a favor, sir. That's a good correct there. Stay out of trouble, right, brother. Stay out of trouble, man.
Best I can. Listen, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. God bless you. But you got to talk Eagles because you're a football fan.
I've been talking Eagles, Arthur. Now, next time he's doing his next heist, you think I'm going to go call him and give him advice on a heist? Yeah, that's what he's doing with me, giving me advice here. Now, before the show, before we go to break and we have a what's brewing on the other side, Hooters was kind enough to have a wonderful, wonderful food drop. Wonderful food drop. For dine-in, to-go, curbside, and delivery, Hooters brings the flavor and the fun to football season. Be the real MVP of your football watch party. Grab Hooters to-go. Order online at HootersToGo.com. You can join the Hooters E-Club for all the Hoot Scoop. Plus, get a free appetizer when you sign up and free wings on your birthday. Visit NortheastHooters.com to sign up for that today. And hurry into Hooters to get your 2022 Hooters calendar, including over $100 worth of coupons. $1 for every sale goes to the V Foundation for Cancer Research. So fantastic. The food was fantastic. How'd you enjoy the wings?
Delicious.
Oh, it's awesome. And some food doesn't really travel well. Like, some food, it's good in the restaurant. It's not great if you get it delivered. Hooters not that way. That stuff is as good as you get it hot off the stove there. So
still got the shrimp out there. The salad was fantastic. So thanks so much, Hooters. On the other side, can't wait for this. We have What's Brewing with Jen here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson. In for Mike Missinelli. He will be back tomorrow, 610-632-0975. But now it's time for What's Brewing, and that is brought to you by Dunkin'. Hey, Eagles fans, it's always game on with Dunkin'. Rewards members, pick your day to score a free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Let's hear the fabulous stories from Jed Scordo right now.
All right. So I read this first story yesterday, and I didn't know how I felt about it. And then I thought about it all night, and I'm more certain on how I feel about it. Little Tykes has made a Peloton-like bike for children.
All right.
Ages between 3 and 7.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Let me keep my opinion out of it. The thing that really gets me is that it costs $1,500 with a $39 monthly subscription to take the videos.
It's kind of like the regular Peloton.
It's a regular Peloton bike,
right,
for children who are 3 years old.
Uh-huh.
You
kids
seem
have
okay
to be in shape
this?
Still.
Well,
yeah, but don't you want to take a bike outside and go ride it down the sidewalk and go meet your neighbors?
You know who this is for.
No.
This is for, and they're a little late. It's because a lot of kids, well, three-year-olds are still home. Mom wants to do her Peloton workout in the day. She's a stay-at-home mom in the scenario. She's working from home. And yet she's got to balance this kid. If you give the kid its own bike, the kid will get on that bike and ride while you're riding because they want to do what mommy's doing. And that's what it's for.
That's true.
That's what it's for.
That's now, a less cynical
marketing
view.
That's what it is.
But evidently, Fisher Price made a $150 stationary bike back in 2007. And then updated it in 2017.
Well, I'm not going to have all the features.
I'm not suggesting. No, I think it's ridiculous to spend that amount of money.
Yes.
But the concept doesn't bother me. It's about giving the kids something to do where they're not going to destroy the house while the mom has an hour or 30 minutes to herself to get her exercise.
I guess we live in a different world, too, than when I grew up, where my mom would literally just say, go outside and come back at,
not at
when
three.
It's dark.
Not at three.
But at 7, yeah, so probably would have.
Yeah, even at 7, they're going to keep
you
within a certain boundary.
Until you're like 10.
No, that was outside.
Come on.
10.
Oh, yeah, way before 10.
Yes. But you got to have a boundary.
Yeah,
you can't just let the kid go anywhere. That's what that's for. That's for rich people who actually watch their kids. But if you have extra $1,500 lying around for a stationary bike, you could probably afford a nanny.
Yes.
Truth be told.
Right. I don't get it.
Yeah, but the nanny's not taking the kid on a bike ride. Got to get the exercise.
Why not?
Care what the nanny does.
A nanny can take them on a bike ride.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if you had that kind of disposable income for that specific purchase, you're rich.
Well, a lot of health conscious people are saying that it's not a good idea for children with body image, and they're still developing and all that kind of stuff as
I'm
well.
I'm just saying, just ride the bike with mommy.
Right.
I'm not saying, hey, you're fat.
Right.
Like that. Just ride.
Yes.
You want to be like me?
Yeah.
Ride like me.
Child development experts are saying it might not send the best message. But
that's possible.
But it could.
Kids ride bikes all the time. It's just a bike that stays still.
Right. It could be sending a great message that this is something you do to give yourself energy and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Anyway. So there you go. All right. I thought this was great. So a wrong number in a high school team's group chat leads to FaceTime with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is really cool. The Notre Dame Prep freshman boys basketball team in Michigan started a group chat back in November within themselves. One of the players accidentally put in the wrong number. A guy replies back and says, you know, did you mean to add me to this group? Turns out the random guy was a player on the Tampa Bay Bucks. They start talking.
That's cool.
They start chatting. It ends up with them doing a whole FaceTime with Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady, everybody in the locker room. And it was really, really neat. And the kids were really obviously super excited about it. And then they made the kids promise not to publish the guy's phone number.
Yeah, see, that's the beef.
Yeah.
They better not mess it up.
Right, don't mess it up.
Because if that guy has to change his number, then Brady should buy that school and close it.
Where you'll get your education.
No, if his number gets out, I'm going to, because he's got enough money, I'm going to buy the school and I'm going to close the school and you guys are going to have to repeat the grade.
Right.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, but the natural inclination, against the fact they made it even this far is they're fighting against the natural urge of the kid, which is to find the number and like crank call it or give it to somebody.
So now, you'll be doing 5 years of high school if you give out my number. But that's a wonderful story.
Isn't that neat?
It's fantastic.
I thought that was really cool.
Because I would have just hit ignore and blocked all the numbers.
That reminds me of the lady that sent the text to the wrong person about Thanksgiving.
Now they've been doing it together for years. And the husband, unfortunately, passed away from COVID, but they're still doing it.
Yeah, they got back to doing it this year. Yeah. That was neat. I thought that was really cool.
It is.
And since we're getting into the holiday season, you can now rent the house from Home Alone for one night only. You can go stay in
that mansion.
You can actually go stay in the real life house from Home Alone. Four guests will have the chance to relive this family favorite, you know, Christmas movie memories of the McAllisters. There's a weird caveat to it. I'll get to that in a minute. But the whole house is going to be decorated, you know, for Christmas. Booby traps are going to be there for you to set them up.
I got to set up the booby trap.
But who are you getting? You're going to accidentally get somebody you're staying there with.
We've all seen the movie. We know what the booby traps are.
Be careful with the knobs.
Be careful with the, you know, you can't kick the door open with a blowtorch. I'm putting it all in there.
The feathers.
If I get an iron to the face, I'm done. They're paying me back in that
everything.
Song.
I mean, they had pictures of it. They have the paint can hanging everything. And everything.
I'm throwing it down the steps. I'm doing everything.
There's lots of aftershave everywhere. Chicago pizza, microwavable Kraft macaroni and cheese will be on hand to enjoy. You, of course, can sit and watch the movie, Home Alone, and a big Lego display that looks just like the house inside the house, which is really cool. So the booking for one night stay, it's scheduled for December 12th, and it's $25. So I guess you just
start a raffle.
Yeah, so you throw $25 into a lottery. They're going to pick one name, and then that's who gets to do it. And it's all through Airbnb. Airbnb is then going to make a big donation with all the money and to Chicago's Children's Hospital. So... it's pretty cool, though. You can run around like Kevin McAllister.
What day could I stay?
Says it is scheduled for December 12th. I guess the lottery opens up on December 7th. So you can start making that $25 donation on December
12th. And they're going to announce it on the 12th.
Yep.
And then I can just, I'm trying to see if I have a day.
No, I think you actually stay on December 12th.
I can't do that.
You can't do that.
Why can't you pick Chicago the day?
That's the day.
Well, I guess it's decorated. And
I have to get to Chicago.
Yeah, you got to get to Chicago.
That's a short flight.
Yeah, but I'm busy.
You're busy.
All right.
Kind of neat, though. You could stay in that house. That'd be pretty cool.
That was a fantastic job.
You liked it?
Jen, even better under the circumstances. Yes.
Fresher.
Yes. What's Wrong with Jen is brought to you by Dunkin'. Hey, Eagles fans, it's always game on with Dunkin'. Reward members, pick your day to score a free medium hot coffee one time per week, valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. A lot more show coming up. 610-632-0975. Tim McManus at the bottom of the hour with the midweek Eagles report, because it seems like most of the team is on the injury report. So they came out of the Giants game both with a loss, and it looks like a little beat up. So we'll talk to Tim about that and more of your phone calls. Word of the day is favorites. Tyrone Johnson and for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson. In for Mike Mazzelli, he'll be back tomorrow, 610-632-0975, 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. Word of the day is favorites, because Jalen Hurts, he says he's going to play on Sunday. He has quickly become a fan favorite. Even though he has not yet accomplished as a Philadelphia athlete. Sixers play Boston tonight. I hate the Celtics. I want the Celtics to never win another game in the rest of their existence. Maxey, the starting point guard for the Sixers, has already fast-tracked his way to being a fan favorite. And my question became, why? Why? And we've had a lot of answers today. But how do you become a fan favorite in Philadelphia? How do you become a fan favorite in Philadelphia? 610-632-0975. And it seems like it's all, but it's just a lock, that there will be a baseball lockout, not a strike. Yet, you will, that's another thing. People will call it a strike. The players are prepared to continue as is. The owners are not, and they are locking out the players. That's the opposite of a strike. It has nothing to do with the players. It has to do with the owners. Yet, we're going to, when push comes to shove, the majority of people will side with the boss and not the labor, even though in life they always side with the working man, except when they work in sports. And just for people that think that it's just the athletes affected, that's not true. Broadcasters, office workers, it works. They're not the only ones locked out. So a lot of other people will be affected by this. So why, when that comes, does the favorite become the boss? Yet I know people who spend most of their time complaining. They spend more time complaining about their boss than working. Yet when it comes to somebody else, don't you complain. You make plenty of money. Who has ever told anybody else they make plenty of money? I know I've never said that.
Whoever has is wrong.
Yeah, we mean they have enough money. You know what a person with $1 billion needs? Two. You know a person with $1 million needs? Two. You know a person with $100,000 needs? Two. You know a person with $10,000 needs? 20. Like, everybody, you can't tell someone else how much money they should want. Yet, this is what's going to happen. And all I'm trying to do is get in front of it.
Yeah.
So that when I get frustrated, go, why is he frustrated? I told you before it's happened officially. Let's not do that. Let's just not do this.
There's a simple part of it, real quick. This is a very easy breakdown for anyone who finds themselves thinking, I might be on the owner's side.
Uh-huh.
How many owners do you think of the 30 teams? And I don't know this off the top of my head. Let's just use common sense.
Mm-hmm.
How many of these owners would you say have other ventures that bring them in profit daily?
100. I should say probably 28 of them.
Right.
There might be two that's all they do.
And like most likely it's 30, but we just don't know for sure.
No, for sure. Like we know with the Phillies, every time somebody buys a Philly blunt, that's Middleton's money. Every time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Well, I mean, I guess they're technically cigars.
Now,
but I personally never met anyone who used them for that.
Right. Now, do you see Reese Hoskins working at the bank?
No.
Is Bryce Harper cleaning up shopping carts?
No.
And like someone who, let's even go lower. Let's go to someone who sells tickets for the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those guys aren't like working.
They may have to work normally.
Yeah, but now,
time, right.
Like you're taking away their main source of income.
Right.
As opposed to a guy who's going to go make $100 million elsewhere.
Middleton,
sell something else.
When the lockout happens, is going to go pass out a bunch of Phillies to everybody.
They're
to
fine.
Celebrate. Hey, everybody, on me. Everybody, light it up. And he'll probably say, you know, I've never seen anybody smoke these as is. It'd be nice. I'm not going to say what they use them for, okay? Those that know. But either one of you two in there, you guys have been around. Have you, Ed Booney, have any of you three ever seen someone smoke one of those for the purpose in which it was intended?
No.
Not once.
I'm just saying. I'm just wondering. I'm just asking. And if you don't know, don't ask. And those that know. Joe Fox Chase, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone and company. How's everybody?
All right. How are you?
Great. Here's the answer to the why. I'm a 4-for-4 guy my whole life. Love it. And it's really, as the Twitter poll said, work ethic. But it's work ethic as they play the game. We could give a damn what they do off the court, whether Allen Iverson ever practiced. We don't know what TJ and how he practiced. It's how they perform. TJ's diving all over the place, rolling the center fielder for the Phillies. He wasn't great, but the guy put all out. He ran into the wall, broke his nose. We love that stuff. It's how your work ethic and how you play the actual game. That's really all that matters.
Okay. So What's your favorite sport of the sports in Philadelphia?
Baseball.
Okay. Bryce Harper should then, and don't get me wrong, fans root for him, but when I ask, he's now won an MVP. He's been fantastic. He loves this city. He's talked about how his kids are Philadelphians. He got emotional talking about Philadelphia. Yet when I asked if he's an all-time great, can he become one? There was all these caveats, like if he wins a title and does another this and that. Why has a guy like him then, and baseball is your main sport, he plays as hard as anybody on earth. Why is he not 100% embraced?
I can only tell you what I felt.
Okay.
When he was with Washington, and when he first came in at 19, he was a young, cocky, you know, he thought he was Babe Ruth.
Like all of us at 19. But what about now?
Exactly.
But what about now?
Oh, no. Now, I love the guy. He's absolutely phenomenal, and I think he will be an all-time favorite. People are slowly turning. I was one that really didn't like him at all. I was against even getting him, but when we did, and now I've turned a total,
at least you had 180. At least you had the ability to change your mind. That's a thing that's become, where you have to dig in on things and you're not allowed to change your mind, which is stupid.
Yeah, but Joe's right. Like, there's probably a lot of, if Bryce Harper's drafted here and plays like this the whole time.
So now he'd have two MVPs here.
Yeah, you've got as close to 100% as you're going to get for anybody.
You think? Because would people be mad at him? Would they be mad here? Like, you know, I didn't like how cocky he was when he was 19. First of all, you're supposed to be cocky at 19.
Because I don't think you're hearing a lot of people from Washington if you go back, let's say 3 years.
No, they don't like him.
Prior to him coming here?
They weren't fully embracing him. That was where he wasn't 100% beloved there either. That's the weird part.
Yeah.
Not 100%. Like, now, of course, they're just bitter because he left.
Right.
But if they paid him, he would have stayed. They didn't want to pay him. That's not his fault.
Well, they don't want to pay anybody. They just got rid of their whole roster besides Soto.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then I'm glad that Soto wasn't rewarded with the MVP because they didn't want to pitch to him because they were willing to pitch to everyone else on their team because the rest of the team all stunk. But that's a whole different thing. But that's a new thing where, like, you can't change your mind. Like, what do you mean? You should always be able to change your mind. That should be allowed. Like, new information comes, you should adjust. Like, if Ben Simmons came back and said, I'm very sorry to the fans. I'm very sorry to Doc Rivers. I'm very sorry to Joel Embiid. Same with Daniel Green. If Daniel Green apologized to the fans for the stupid things he said, I'd go back to calling him Danny. Because he would have earned it. Instead, he ripped the fans and then just kept on chilling. Like, no, it's not sweet, Daniel. Like, stop, Daniel. Like, I mean, I still want him to play well in the games, but he's forever Daniel unless he says, yeah, I shouldn't have blamed the fans for booing when we deserve to be booed and cheering when we deserve to be cheered. Like, that's a silly thing to be mad about. Come on, Daniel. You're like a veteran. You should know better. Jake on the cell. You're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, Ty. How's it going?
What's up, Jake?
So about your main point today, I feel like it depends on each player on why they become fan favorites.
Okay.
For instance, with Hurts, personally, like he's not a fan favorite for me. Like, he's not my favorite player just because on the field he's, you know, not as talented. But I feel like the city and the fans, they see how great of a person he is and off the field, I mean, and how he's just so good that way that it kind of leaks onto the field and he becomes a fan favorite that way, even though he's not, you know, top level. With Maxey, I feel like it's a mix of how good of a person he is off the field, but also the fact that everybody sees that he has a chance to be really good.
He absolutely does. I like Max. I like Hurts. This, just so we're clear for people that might just tune in, it's not about saying we shouldn't like Hurts and we shouldn't like Maxey. No. I'm wondering why they fast-tracked to head of the class so quickly when they haven't won a title or, in Hurts' case, been in the playoffs or any of those things yet.
Yeah, that's true.
That was really the question.
Yeah, I feel like you had a caller earlier saying how it was because of like who they basically came in and replaced. And I think that had a big part of why that happened because, I mean, no one likes Ben now, obviously. And the thing, and how it went with Carson, I think everybody just wants
someone to be like at that level, but not be a jerk. If that makes sense.
No, that part is extremely fair. That part's extremely fair. And, but it can't just be that. Because don't we want all our athletes to succeed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Rager right now. I still want him to succeed. That's why I think he should be benched for a week. I think he needs to be able to clear his head for a week. Maybe see a player make a couple basic plays. And maybe he's two in his head. And I think taking a breath would help him. Because what I think is going to happen is, I think he's going to make a couple plays because the Jets stink. He's going to think he's got it licked. And in the following game, it's going to go back to normal. And I don't want that to happen. I need him to get the reality of where he is right now. And I think sitting would behoove him. But the coach says that he gives him the best chance to win. And if that's the case, if that's true, how is Howie allowed to do another draft? If the coach is, what he's saying is true, if he really means it, he's looking at his roster and he goes, that guy who just, I mean, he didn't cost him the game. Hurts cost him the game. But they could have still scored 14 points and stole it if he makes one of those two catches. How does that, if that's true, how's Howie allowed to have another draft? There has to be someone on the practice squad or whatever who would catch those two passes if left wide open. If they don't have anyone else that would catch that?
Yeah, there's got to be.
There's got to be. Gotta be.
Like, you pulled Travis Fogelbaum off of like multiple practice squads and he was cut from multiple teams and he came out and he even had moments. Now he's not with the team anymore. He's on a practice squad in like Miami.
You'd like to think if you signed him right now and no one would cover him because they rolled the covers to Smith and Goddard anyway, that if it just was wide open.
Yeah, but he's not playing for Miami and Miami stinks. Like, Miami, there's other issues
with
him.
What Miami been doing lately?
Well,
Tua was playing well all of a sudden.
They're getting better, but
Tua was playing well all of a sudden. But I hear you. It's just it's
like
just,
even he could go out there and make catches.
I would hope.
Where is somebody that you can bring in? Those guys exist everywhere.
They need to, and if they don't, then Howie can't be trusted to do another draft. If Rager's the best you got.
Right.
Duke and Mount Laurel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Great show, guys. Really enjoy it.
Thank you, dude.
You hit so many topics today. I'd like to give you a perspective. I'm a Phillies guy. I'm 4-for-4, but Phillies would be my number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking going back to the 70s. First of all, we are the greatest fans because we fill the stadium even if the teams are bad and they're on the
We don't do that in baseball. All the Sixers, we do that with the Eagles. Even the Flyers started to drip. And for the record, that's what makes us a good fan. But go ahead, continue with your point.
My fault, I stand corrected on that.
No, you're right.
But the Mets fans did fill our stadium up in the early 90s.
They did.
We got in a few brawls over the years with their obnoxiousness.
I hate Mets fans, but we don't want to do any violence.
No, sir. No, never would condone that. Along with Boston Celtics, I hate them too.
I also hate them. I hope the Sixers win by 4,000 later tonight.
Oh, please! I needed to get back like to the '80s with the rivalries with the '80s. But we booed Mike Schmidt, and he's a Hall of Famer. And I always had a problem with that. My dad was like, "The key to Philly, and your poll kind of hits it. We love the underdog. We love that guy that hustles."
Mike Schmidt made it look easy. He made it look easy.
He was so talented, but we booed him, and he had it. He ended up becoming love because he wore like a wig.
Yeah, but think about it. But real fast, you get your full time, dude. I didn't notice when I was a little kid. Schmidt had been World Series MVP, was the greatest third baseman to ever live, and the first Phillies game that I go to as a little kid is Schmidt's last year. And my father's booing Mike Schmidt. I didn't know he'd already been World Series MVP.
That's a violation.
My dad told me that when he hit his 500th home run, that 499 of them were solo. My dad told me, oh, it don't matter. Even as if hitting 499 solo home runs isn't still amazing. My dad, 499 of them were solo. So Mike Schmidt is a great player. And was not beloved. Yet, already, Jalen Hurts is. How?
There's a couple factors I throw it in there. Like Larry Bowa wasn't batting his weight, but because he never, and I love Larry Bowa, but
right.
if you criticize, the fan base just it goes on another level. And the same thing it happened to Jimmy Rollins, who was my favorite player, you know, in the 90s. And I taught my son, I said, you know, that's the kind of guy you want to be. He can hit for power. He hits the triples. Yeah, golden glove hard. In the field.
Right.
But Utley, you would never get Utley criticized or booed because you really didn't know. He kept what was in his head to himself. Where Rollins was straight up. He said, hey, listen, don't be fair weather fans. You can't be booing us.
That's a good point. Good point, dude. Just ran out of time. I'm just saying. I remember that as a kid. I'm at the vet. And maybe this is why I'm one of the few people that doesn't have warm memories of the vet. I have warm memories of the spectrum. I don't have a lot of, good memories from the vet. I'm there. It's Smith's last season. Obviously, I didn't know it at the time because he had retired abruptly at the start of, the next year. And literally, my dad and other people in the section are booing Smith. Now, I'm a little kid. I didn't know the guy was already World Series MVP and 500 home runs. Boo. Wait a minute. And then it takes wearing a wig. So, again, wearing a wig, now we love you. 500 home runs, World Series MVP. Best third baseman to ever breathe air. Not. But a wig, think about that.
It's weird,
this isn't new. That means this isn't new. Jalen Hurts, already more beloved than Mike Smith. Think about that. And this is not a knock at Jalen Hurts. What I'm saying is he's been here. People, matter of fact, half the callers think he's a 12-year-old. Oh, poor Jalen. Poor little Jalen. You got to give him more time. He just got the training wheels off. Yeah, he is beloved. Mike Smith, booed. At the twilight of his career, in which he had already been World Series MVP and 500 home runs. This city is something. Let me tell you, this city is something. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is favorites. How do you become a fan favorite in Philadelphia? Because Mike Smith didn't do it. On the other side, we'll talk to Tim McManus with his Eagles midweek report. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. What's up, Jim?
I love it. Sorry. I love it how you let the music marinate just for an extra couple seconds.
I like the music. I let it breathe.
I love that.
I try to let it breathe.
Lots of things I love about you, Tyrone. That's one of them.
Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
you. You're my favorite. You know that today?
Yes, you're my favorite.
You
today
and Connor.
As well. Yep.
Whoa, you snuck me in there at the end. I feel like there's some definite favoritism being played.
You're my
today.
Favorites in Philadelphia.
I mean,
today.
You guys work with each other every day. That's fair. Just don't make it so blatant for me, all right?
We love you, Connor.
Killing me.
A little bit blatant. A lot more things to get to today. But right now on the line, we love it each and every week with this Eagles midweek report on the Comcast Business Hotline. Mr. Tim McManus. Tim, how are you today?
Yeah, you got to let it breathe like a fine wine, Tyrone. You're doing it right.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you so much. Now, I guess before we get to anything else, I looked at the injury report that the Eagles released, and it was extensive. So you can do like Andy Reid back in the day and give us a bit of an injury update to start us off.
I guess I got to clear my throat then first, right?
Yes.
They go into this matchup pretty banged up. I mean, Jalen Hurts is the one that we have to focus in on first. They've gotten some positive news about him. He was hobbled down the stretch with the ankle injury. A player ended up stepping on him, and he sprained his ankle. But he was able to finish that game, and he was a limited participant today in their walkthrough. He says he's playing. Nick Sirianni says that they're hopeful for it. The Gardner Minshew is probably going to get some first-team reps. Maybe that happened today because Hurts was just a limited participant. And so you have to watch that because this is obviously a quarterback that uses his legs quite a bit. Otherwise, you know, the guys up front in front of him, Jason Kelce was limited. He, of course, left with a knee injury. Jack Driscoll is now on IR, so you have Nate Herbig that's going to be filling in for him. And so, yeah, and then the running back situation is kind of up in the air because Miles Sanders is limited. Boston Scott was out because of an illness. Jordan Howard was out because of a knee injury. And so there are some pieces, really critical pieces, that are questionable or at least going to be banged up heading into this Sunday.
And that makes it tough because the Eagles are better than the Jets. I actually thought they were better than the Giants, but they have a chance to go back up there and kind of in the same building and get something done. But this time of year is tough in the NFL, and it's that much tougher, obviously, with this many injuries.
Yeah, and you're right. The Jets stink, and they're banged up too. Right, their leading rusher is out, Michael Carter. He's not playing in this game, and then their leading receiver is dealing with Corey Davis is dealing with a groin injury, and they're just not a very good football team, and obviously led by a rookie green quarterback. And so this is a game that they should win, and they definitely have snapped back down to reality going into that Giants game. That's a clear one that they should have had. They underperformed, the quarterback underperformed, and so you know that they're not going to be taking any opponent lightly, especially coming off of a loss like that.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I want to ask you about Jalen Hurts. Now, I had the mind of, and you can tell me I'm crazy, Tim, because I'm wrong all the time, that if he's healthy enough to go, it might be good for Hurts to kind of have to settle in the pocket a little bit, because I think some of his mistakes that he made last week, and maybe they're aberrations, but some of the things that he hasn't done well, one of the things is sometimes sticking in that pocket when it's clean and maybe escaping a little bit early. I thought if he's healthy enough to avoid defenders, but maybe not healthy enough to run, maybe that will force him to do more things from the pocket. Is that crazy to think?
No, I actually had the same thought today. And not that it's necessarily better for the Eagles' chances on Sunday, because we know what kind of the danger that he poses as a runner. But in terms of his development, this could be a blessing in some way where, like you say, if he doesn't have that great ability to escape, whether it's to run or to extend a play, then he's got to be on time more frequently. He's got to play within the structure of the offense. He's got to play within the pocket and just make minor moves instead of big ones, stepping up and then finding a receiver and those kind of things. So I agree with you. I think that we know that as he is developing, one of the big things that he has to work on is his repetitive accuracy, and it's with his timing. He's got to get it out quicker in a lot of situations. And if he doesn't have the benefit of using his legs, then I think this is an opportunity for him to kind of develop that.
Absolutely, Tim. And last thing about Hurts before we move on. I disagree with some fans that said that they passed too much last week, because 31 passes in this NFL is not a lot of passes. Now, it may have been too, if they ran the ball, they very well may have won the game. But do you agree that in this modern NFL, a quarterback, regardless whether it's Hurts or insert any name of any quarterback, 31 times is not some crazy amount to where you shouldn't be able to win with 31 passes in this NFL?
I mean, I think I take issue with a couple things in terms of their approach from last week. I would say one of them is, though, even though they ended up with over 200 yards rushing, mm-hmm. especially early in the game, it felt like they were trying to attack through the air and getting themselves into some second and longs and some third and longs, where the formula that had been working so well over the previous 3 weeks just could have been repeated, in my opinion, mm-hmm. especially against a defense like New York's, which had been struggling, and they certainly proved that they could move it on the ground. So I thought that, philosophically, Sirianni went a little bit away from what had been working. He also, you know, wasn't doing as much of the play action. Like, the percentage of play actions on those dropbacks was the lowest that, that Hurts had had all year. Why? He only had 8 of those 30 of those 31 passes were play action passes. So I disagree with that. The biggest thing that I disagreed with is that they were forcing the issue down the field. There's absolutely no reason for that. If they just would have kind of taken what the defense was giving them, going underneath with the passes, if you look at the way that Hurts was operating in those final drives where he hits Gainwell and like the back-to-back pops, like those were there for a lot of the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for some reason they identified something deeper downfield where they thought they could take advantage of it, and it came back to bit them. You know, there were multiple interceptions when he was pushing the ball downfield. Hurts had the third highest air yards per attempt last week, and he had the most time before throw in the entire NFL with 3.19 seconds on average. I mean, so they did things that were unnecessary, and I thought that whatever kind of obsession they had with trying to push the ball downfield is ultimately what cost them that game.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I want to ask you about the other Jalen, because the coach says, Rager says that he gives him the best chance to win. I'm a person who believes that maybe a day sitting out against a team like the Jets, seeing the game and then coming back might do him some good. But regardless of the opinions, two big drops late, especially that last play, he just hasn't been productive so far this year. And I know coming into the game, you mentioned, Tim, in your reporting that the Eagles have been pretty pleased with his development and how they haven't been passing that much. So maybe his stats were because he's not getting the ball that much. But this was pretty bad, these back-to-back drops. Where do you think his head is right now? And will he be more productive going forward if they continue to shade coverage towards Smith and Goddard, which I imagine every team's going to do the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's a really good point, Ty. And, you know, from my reporting suggests that he's actually in a pretty good mental headspace even after those two drops. And that's not something that would have been the case last year. My understanding is that he was, his mental health was not in a good place last year because of the pressure of being a first round pick, because of the comparisons to Justin Jefferson, because of the multiple injuries that he was going through, and he was in kind of a bad place. But he has worked himself out of that. And those, you know, obviously the production has not been where he wants it to be or where the Eagles would like it to be. It's interesting when I was looking at, like, he had that comment after the game, you know, it was really uncharacteristic, in my opinion, those drops, and a lot of people laughed at it, but he's only had 4 drops in his career to this point, and those were 2 of them. So he is kind of right in that respect. I mean, we recognize that his production hasn't been where it needs to be. I don't think that benching him is the right thing. I do agree with Sirianni that out of those options, like if we're talking John Hightower or Greg Ward, that Rager does give them the best chance to win. We are quick to judge, and understandably so, especially given the draft class that he was in and all of the production that all this first round wide receivers have had over him. Mm-hmm. But he's 22. While everybody's ready to write him off, and maybe he does end up, you know, not being a good draft pick or not being a, you know, productive player in the NFL, I still would say, you know, allow him to have a little bit of time to grow. I don't think that just totally avoiding him now and saying, no, we're just going to sit you on the bench is the answer. I think that, you know, he's obviously going through some extended growing pains, but there is some upside to this player. And so, you know, I'm not ready to write him off.
All right, and that's fair. It's not really about writing them off. The question is, what happens if the Jets, what would you do if you're the coach, if the Jets roll coverage and he drops another ball, he can't get open next week? At what, is there a point in which you would say maybe he does need a blow if you're not there yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not there yet. I think that if he struggles in a major way this week again, then you have to kind of reconsider your options. I would say that. And by the way, I would expect the Jets and the rest of the teams to follow a similar recipe that the Giants put forth, and that's both rolling coverage towards Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith. You saw some double coverages of Goedert in the red zone. And also, you know, a lot of times the Giants were dropping back 7, kind of just like flooding the zone and making Hurts beat them that way. And I would expect, a lot of similar kind of copycats over the last handful of regular season games here.
Yes, the last question, actually, I guess we go back to where we start. Jalen Hurts, the one thing you put up, yeah, you were the first person to tweet it out. I saw it. The 2-for-12 in the tight window throws. You had tweeted out that stat from this past week. That's one thing we haven't seen from him this season. We've seen a lot of good things. I hate that we're coming on after his career worst game because obviously things are going to skew negative. But one thing, period, is not a lot of action there in that way. Is that the most important thing, other than wins and losses, that you need to see the rest of the season in that if he's put in a spot? Like that last play of the game, that would have been that was a play that was – it would have been tight because the way he trailed the play, but it was possible to get the ball to Smith if it was a perfect pass. Do you, Tim McManus, who's been evaluating and been, I think, fairly positive on Hurts so far, is that the biggest thing you want to see the last five games of the year, or is him completing more tight window throws when they're there?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, to me, that speaks more to the fact that he was forcing things.
Okay.
Than it does of him having to thread a needle.
Gotcha.
I think that he's, you know, for me, like, if he plays like he did against New Orleans, if he plays like he did against Denver, like, we've seen that he can be a very effective quarterback. So I don't necessarily need to, like, obviously his repetitive accuracy needs to improve. But, you know, he's shown in some, like, a handful of games, call it, like, I don't know, four of the games, maybe mm-hmm. five of the games, that he can, you know, that he can run an offense efficiently overall. And I think that and can get the offense humming at a pretty high level. So I'm looking more for consistency. Like, what he puts forth against Denver and New Orleans can't be followed by what he put forth against New York. Like, it's not going to work that way, or else this organization is going to be stuck in neutral. If you have a quarterback that's, like, super high, like it was against Atlanta, and he shoots down, you know, for an extended period, it's right mm-hmm. back up. Like, you just can't. You need the steady hand. And I think he's got the mentality. He's got, like, a steady mentality where he's, like, nothing rattles him. And he's like the steady-handed leader that you want, but that's got to be reflected week in, week out on the football field. It's got to be consistent. And so that's kind of what I would be looking for out of Hurts. And if he shows some of that, like he can be that, then I would feel a lot better about him being the long-term answer at quarterback.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Tim. As usual, you've been great with us, obviously, all season long. And let's hope that for his sake and Eagles fans' sake, we see the good version of him against a weakened Jets team.
Yes, sir. Yes, I think we'll probably be talking about a win next week. But, yeah, that's why they play the games. Ty, thanks for having me on, man.
No, thanks so much, man. That's Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, three-minute break, 610-632-0975. And then on the other side, we're going to open it up. Sweets week, our sweeps week sweepstakes, as people lay out why they want to come kick it with us at the Flyer Suite. We'll have all the details on the other side. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Mussinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Mussinelli, 610-632-0975. So now it's time. Now, the show doesn't change. Word of the day is still favorites. We're still talking about the same things. The only difference is 97.5 The Fanatic presents Sweets Week. You listen every afternoon this week to win tickets with the Mike Mussinelli Show in a luxury suite at a Flyers game on December 21st versus the Washington Capitals. Now, it's simple. You just got to tell us why you want to kick it with us at the suite. And that's it.
Sounds simple, but it's not.
Well, you know, the good thing is, today is, I mean, I have the hammer today because I'm sitting here.
Oh, that's right. Are we still doing the two votes get in?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Even though Connor will be in the
studio. Yeah, do I hold a vote here in this one? You guys trust me?
Yes. You are producing the program. Therefore, yes, you have a vote today. Mike's not here. So you just tell us why you want to kick it with us, and we'll give a yay or a nay. And then Matt will pick the person at random from the qualifiers at the end. Because we have say on who we qualify, but we don't actually have say on who wins.
Right.
Okay, so we're just getting people in the hat, and then it's a drawing.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So really what people are trying to do is just get into the hat. That's required, the 2 out of 3 vote, and then Nat will handle it from there. But the number one thing is be available December 21st. If you're going to be away for the holiday or busy, you can't make it, then obviously don't try to win, because you're going to take a spot from somebody who actually wants to come. That's really the key. We just want people who want to be there. So that's that. Let's get back to the phones. Floyd in Georgia. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Floyd?
What's up, Ty? How you doing, man?
What's going on? See, down there by Jen's neck of the woods.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful down here. It's beautiful. But
my sister lives down there now.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's, you would think it's Philly South, because there's a lot of people from up that way down here.
That's cool.
And I would love to try to win that, but I wouldn't be there anyway. But I appreciate y'all, because y'all are my connection back home.
Thank you.
Hearing y'all every day.
Appreciate it.
But on the favorites thing, I think it's really about expectations, right? No matter what we do or what we think, it's about our expectations. If I go to a restaurant that's mediocre, I expect mediocre from it. You know what I'm saying? So when somebody comes in with high expectations and they don't meet it, we have an issue with that. But anybody who exceeds expectations, we love that. So it's really what they come in with. It's like, I'll use Foles for the best example, because he's not that great. But when Wentz went down, we had a low expectation that we're still going to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at the next week when he played Oakland and it looked terrible, my expectations went out the window. I was done.
Right.
But then when he exceeded it, we loved him because he exceeded what we thought he was going to do. So when it comes to Ben Simmons and Fultz, and all these other guys who come in with high expectations that they're going to take us to the next level, and they don't meet their expectation, it's a hatred for that, because it's like, bro, you can at least meet your expectation. We're not even asking you to exceed it.
But what about the fact that Joel Embiid has exceeded expectations, and he's not universally loved?
Yeah, but I really don't, if we say it correctly, because he's such a big name, you're going to hear the detractors louder, because you're trying to figure out, why don't you like him? You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's so many. I don't really believe the number is as high as the vocal minority.
It could be a lot of loud haters. And plus, when I'm doing Sixers Outsiders, I'm seeing every single one of them. So I might be seeing more of it than you think is really there.
Right, because when the ball is in his hands, of course he's going to be more criticized, because he has the ball in his hands, there's more pressure on him, and if he doesn't come through, like if Maxie misses a last-second layup, it's like, oh, it was a good attempt. You know what I'm saying? But if Embiid misses the last second, you know what I'm saying, shot, it's like, we expect you to make that. You know what I'm saying? We expect you to finish. We expect you to get fouled. Or we expect something from you. The same with McNabb in big games. We booed him coming in. You know what I'm saying? But we started to grow to love him, because first we didn't expect to get him. We thought we was getting Williams. But we started to love him when he exceeded our expectation. Right. And then we started expecting more. Like, we could win the Super Bowl, and he kept falling short. The hatred started coming because our expectation have grown.
Yeah, I get it. It makes me a little uneasy, though. I'll be honest. Because we should have high expectations for people, and then those people should be able to exceed those expectations. We shouldn't be, well, it's okay if little Johnny's are. Like, I don't like that. Because I think that's what's happening to someone Hurts. I'm telling you, there are people out there treating him almost like he's a child.
It feels like almost participation trophy-esque.
They're in there going, like, the 31 passes. I mean, what are you doing to the guy? You're trying to kill him. 31 passes? Oh, my God. Like, that's how they were talking. Like, what? 31's not 50? Oh, my, could you believe it? They asked the guy to throw 31 times. Oh, you would have thought that they shot him, the way some people said. Like, 31 times is not that bad. Like, I do think that the expectations are real, but sometimes we're wrong with how we place it. Okay, so we asked the player to do something. So what? Like, why is that bad? Why is it bad?
Yeah.
No, no, no. If Jalen Hurts, the Eagles' defense reverts back against the Jets somehow, and we all agree that there's going to be some games in his career where the defense doesn't play well, is he just supposed to lose all of them? No, right? At some point, we're going to expect Jalen Hurts to say, okay, the defense gave up 31. You go score 34. Like, is that not what's going to happen? Like, that's what they asked Mahomes to do.
Right.
That's what they ask. I'm saying if he's going to be the guy, and people are saying he's going to be the franchise quarterback, there's going to be some times where obviously you need defense to play well, but there's going to be some games, like Foles in the Super Bowl. They couldn't get any stops. Brady was throwing the ball through for like 500 yards. We'd have been like, we were like, go win. I'm saying that that's not mean or unfair. Yet if we said that about Hurts, they say, what do you mean? How dare you ask him to score 14 points?
That is bizarre.
That's the part of it that's like, yes, it's expectations, but like it seems like our favorites, we remove all expectations and they're allowed to just exist.
Like once they reach that level, it goes completely out the window.
Like we should be okay with the fact that even if Rager caught the ball, they only scored 14 points. That's not acceptable. You got to score 21, 28 every week. That's what we expect in the NFL. 14, okay, you won, but you held your nose. It's like, you know, it's like you're in the bathroom with a number one and somebody opens that stall door. You know what's coming. It's terrible. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson for Mike Missanelli. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDED or visit goguida.com. And yes, it is Sweets Week and maybe this hour. Some people qualify, maybe not. Word of the day is favorite because Jalen Hurts has become a fan favorite. He says he's playing on Sunday against the Jets. Sixers play the Celtics tonight. Already Maxey is a fan favorite. And I'm not saying that anyone should not like these guys. You should like whoever the hell you want to like. But why? How do you become a Philadelphia fan favorite? And we know, due to Rollins, Howard, Mike Smith, and others, that winning alone does not make you a fan favorite. So what does? And perhaps do we need to make some adjustments? Should we say that we like, right now, we like Wheeler and Harper. We like Embiid. We like... Well, the Flyers is tough right now because they're in a losing streak, like right now. We like maybe we have to be more Kelsey and Lane Johnson. Like, do we need to start demanding excellence to be a fan favorite? Or we continue to like to be charmed because we like to be charmed. We like people to like kind of flirt. That's what it seems like the athletes that flirt.
We like people to like us.
Yeah, but. Like, if Simmons came back, and like, matter of fact, if Simmons came back and said, I hate all of you, but made like 7 threes, I'd be okay with that. Like, would you be upset with that?
There'd be a large portion of the fan base that would still be upset about that.
Yeah, see, no.
If he came back and said he didn't like.
I said what I said. But God, he came back and made 7 threes? Hate me more.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm a part. No, see, that's the thing. We do have to focus on who, like, yes, that's true. But production can overcome everything. Kind of like people out there that mess with you see people messing with the rich guy. You look at him, you say, how did that happen? Because of the money. It's hard then. And then here's the cruel irony. The rich woman the man is intimidated. So she doesn't have the same she has a tougher time than the rich guy.
I'll throw it out there. I'm not at all intimidated by a rich woman. If there are rich women out there that are interested, you know where to find me.
So
not at all intimidated.
You're saying that if you met a woman your age, was she had like several generations of like salad dressing money.
Oh, yeah.
She's like a salad dressing heiress.
Yeah, she's the heiress to the Hidden Valley fortune.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or Wesson.
Yeah, any salad dressing. I don't discriminate against any salad dressing. Absolutely.
Even if it was like ranch.
Yeah, I was going to say it's better if it's ranch.
Oh, like ranch.
She's part of the Hidden Valley
family.
What
if it's like a balsamic vinegar?
That's fine.
Perfect.
However you make your money.
Okay. And she, like, you go to, so you ask her out. She says, yeah. And then when you go to reach for the bill, she, like, laughs. Laughs at you.
Yeah. This is pocket change.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. I know what you do. And then you have no issues.
No, none.
See, some guys
I like
would.
That.
Some guys
cool.
would.
Well, if guys got a problem, you just call me, girl. I got you.
All right. 610-632-0975. Call them up. You can talk to them and maybe even hang with us in the suite. Joe in South Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, this is Brother Tyrone.
What's up, Joe?
I feel you were saying the bench regular for a week.
Yeah.
I don't think you should.
Okay, why?
A setback is a setup for a comeback. So you keep them in there, and Jalen Hurts will get throw a pass to him, and he'll bring it in. He'll make them plays that he messed up on. Because the setback was a setup for a comeback.
Now, that's always the case. But
right. But
he's about to play the Jets. This is my concern.
Go ahead.
He plays against the Jets, and he makes a couple Jets plays. And then he plays Washington, and he goes back to being himself. I need the problem fixed. I'm not looking for a Band-Aid. I'm looking for surgery.
Well,
Jets will provide a Band-Aid. Because making plays against the Jets won't prove anything. If he's just going to come back to being a bum against other teams. Because he has not been productive so far in his career.
He just couldn't hold on to the passes the way they were thrown to him.
Well, that's kind of his job.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you got to give the man his props. He's only been in the league.
I'm not going to give him any props. You know how he gets his props? The paycheck every 2 weeks. The big multi-million dollars. The paycheck he gets every 2 weeks is the props. He hasn't done anything to deserve props. I can't give him props.
Now think this. Ready? I'm going to go to the Sixers. You got Ben Simmons, right?
Uh-huh.
He's on the phone with, who was he running? What was his name? The young guy the Sixers had. He was,
I don't know who he was. Yeah.
Markelle Fultz.
Okay.
Him and Ben Simmons was talking. Now, I watched the Sixers tear their ass up, and they was just coming back from being sick, Joe Embiid and the crew, but they still pulled it out. And what I'm saying is, what is Markelle Fultz going to tell Ben Simmons? We're in Philly, bro.
Well, I think he's going to tell him that the fans anyway, Fultz came out and defended the Philadelphia fan. So at least we have that. We didn't have a lot else, but we did have that. John in Newcastle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. Hey, I hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Same to you, John.
Tyrone, you're doing a great job in the big chair like you always do.
Thank you. Trying to get through.
I'd like to plead my case at the end to join you guys if I could. But,
absolutely.
In the suite. But, Tyrone, I need you to self-diagnose me. Like, earlier when you were talking about the strike and how most fans
lockout
kind of go towards the owners. Now, I'm a regular guy, mm-hmm. don't make much money,
mm-hmm.
not crazy about the leadership at where I work.
Uh-huh.
I'm a blue collar guy, and every time I read what the players are asking for, I say, yep, that sounds right, love it. So why inherently do I seem to side with the owners?
That's what I want you to answer, because it's the same thing in that you work at a company where, let's say you have a small business. A lot of people work for small businesses. You have 50 coworkers total. Well, likelihood that owner of that company is not a billionaire who has built-in guarantees to turn a profit. So, and he'll beat you up over 25 cents an hour. But, and you don't like it. Yet, when the owners go to the players, sometimes the owners don't, the players don't even ask for more. They'll say, yeah, what you're getting right now, we want to give you less. And people go, yeah, take more from them. I hate the player. What is that? Imagine if I came to your job and said, down in Delaware, it was like, man, I don't know why you're paying this guy. You need to dock his pay. You want to kill me. Yet we do the exact same thing. And it's going to start tomorrow once the lockout's official.
And it's crazy because I agree. Like, in my heart, I support the players. But in February, I'll be blaming them.
Right.
When I know that I'm wrong. Like, I know that I'll be the guy that's saying, why aren't the players accepting this deal that the owners are offering?
Right.
And I know I'll be saying that, and I'm frustrated at myself.
Well, at least you're honest enough about it. So lay out your case why you want to hang out with us at the suite.
Well, here's the thing. Your show means so much to me. I watch it every day. I make it part of my daily life. But what makes your show so great to me is that the three of you have so much synergy, and it's not just your master of sports, but it's when you talk about sports and food and music and current events and social issues. So for me, when I think about being in the suite that night, I think, how great would it be for me to sit next to Tyrone and talk about music, sit next to Mike and talk about cooking, sit next to Jen and talk about when she met all those country music stars. So for
She's
me,
met them all.
Yeah, and as much as I love sports, and that would be the topic of the night, I would walk away back to my car saying, I can't believe I talked about food with Mike, and I talked to Tyrone about music.
Right.
Like, that
Here
would make me.
I vote yes. Jennifer?
I vote yes.
O'Connor, you might as well go ahead.
Oh, I feel like I'm on American Idol here. I'm voting yes, too. You're through to Hollywood.
All right, sir. We put him on hold. All right, first qualifier.
I like that.
Yeah, that was good. See, it's that easy. And he didn't have to, but actually, he could have said a lot of things. That was a quality call because he admitted what we know what's going to happen. And owners know this. Somehow, even though they're 100% wrong, they're still more than half the people are going. I guess it's kind of a loser mentality that a lot of people have. I think a lot of people think I can never have what they have, talking about the players, so they're hating. When I see somebody that has something, there's times where I'm on a run. If I see a really nice car, I say out loud, like, low, man, good for them. Or if I see a nice house, I'll go like, that's a nice house. I don't think I want to take that away. I think, wow, that's cool that that person has that. And I think more people should have a congratulations type of attitude versus a takeaway attitude. That works. It's a big psychological thing. But when I see someone succeed or having something nice, I'm like, wow, what can I do to get that, like, myself? Not, oh, they shouldn't have that. But I think a lot of people are like, we get paid all that money to play a game. I play baseball for $100,000. Why does he need $100 million? Ain't nobody want to pay you $100,000 to play baseball, so you wouldn't do it for $100,000. You do it for free like you do now. But they don't, that doesn't enter. It only the, I play for Whaler. What do you mean? You get to play a kid's game.
And it's interesting because the owners, I feel like people look at naturally business people, not athletes. So it's different. There may be a perception, oh, they worked a lot harder to get to where they are.
Knowing that most of them is old money.
Exactly.
Most of them inherited that money. Somebody might have worked hard several generations ago. And certain people weren't allowed to work those generations at that time and accumulate the money that led to Johnny being born. Like, I'm supposed to feel something for a Steinbrenner? You weren't the Steinbrenner.
No.
You existed and your dad passed and you just got
the
team.
You had the right last name. Congratulations.
Jeff Lurie did not earn that money that he when he bought the Eagles. That was his mama's money. I'm supposed to be, oh, man, poor Lord. Like, are you kidding me? Like, at least I know the athletes that were there had to work to get there.
You know, I feel like sometimes we get that being in this business. You know, people, especially if you've ever been on the music side of radio, I feel like people think that a lot about us. It's like, well, what do? You go to work for 4 hours a day? Well, no, we work a lot more than just 4 hours a day. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like we get that bad rap sometimes, too.
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do? All right, well, listen.
Our job is much more fun than the daily grind.
Yeah, I have to admit that.
But it is still a job. And it's still a job for baseball players to go out and do their thing. Football players, everybody.
Right.
It's still a job. There's still stuff that you have to deal with that every single person on this planet has to deal with at their job.
And at the end of the day, that's all it is.
Yeah.
like it's just, it's a job.
It's just a job.
And everybody at their job wants to make as much as possible at their job.
Yep.
You, me, and all of the players. So there's nothing wrong with that because that's the natural emotion. If only we treat it like a job. The person working at Amazon wants to make as much as possible. You don't think Bezos has the money? No one would side with Bezos. Yeah, I mean, what do you mean? Those guys are lucky. They get one-day shipping. Say, well, what do you mean? They should just take whatever he pays. No one would ever say that. No one would ever say
those
that.
Those guys get ripped when they donate millions to charity. Just give it away because it's not enough. And the owners will start a lockout on players trying to just earn the money that they've agreed to through contract. And people will side with those owners.
That's why I'm trying to get in front of it. Trying to get in front of it. Craig and Defert, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, guys. Good show. I got two quick points. Mm-hmm. Make my case to go to the Flyers game would be the last point. But as far as Jalen Hurts and the love that he's getting, you know, we always talk about the athlete, like you said, is a production thing and obviously an expectation thing. And what comes to mind is when you look at the Tim Tebow's of the world versus mm-hmm. the Josh Gordon's of the world who gets multiple opportunities mm-hmm. based on a difference in skill set and a difference in character. I think Jalen Hurts presented a never quit personality up until his pro, you know, his pro time.
Absolutely.
And I think people root for him just off of that. And that's why you get the childish protection, you know, feel when it comes to him. You had like Ryan Leaf. I mean, you could go on and on about all of the guys who had high expectations, but
that
never
failed.
Panned out.
Right.
And right.
I want Hurts to succeed. I'm just saying I want him to succeed as a full-fledged quarterback, not right, with a guy with training wheels on. I want him, if he has to throw 30 times, go throw 30 times and win the game like every other quarterback's asked to do in the whole league.
But that's not going to happen. He's ultimately, like, you know, not going to be a franchise guy. He's really the Rick Brunson. He's the Rick Brunson of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I hate to say it.
But I'm not saying that yet. I don't agree with that. I'm saying I'm going to wait till the end of the year. I'm going to look at the entire 21 starts that he's made and then decide yay or nay.
But the reason why I say that, Tyrone, is because ultimately he doesn't have the leadership in place to groom him to his full potential. Sirianni is on the hot seat as much as he is.
Nah, he's got his uncle's the quarterback's coach. His uncle is the quarterback's coach. So, like, I think he's got some tutors. Why do you want to come to the Flyers game?
So this is, like, real interesting. Like, so, you know, I grew up in the inner city. You know, obviously Little League baseball is my first sport, and then you kind of gravitate mm-hmm. to football and basketball. And so I used to call your show when Martinez was producing for Mike, and they argued nonstop about why hockey never got the airtime that the other sports did. And I know Martinez is a real big hockey guy.
Phew.
And I went on vacation one day down to Myrtle Beach during the NBA playoffs, and one of my friends is a hockey friend. You know, he's a Caucasian guy, and we go into the suite, and he has like all the TVs on hockey games, and we're like, dude, turn on the NBA playoffs. And it was like this huge argument about what was more important and why people don't watch hockey. So for me, I would like to experience a little bit more diversity. I don't know the lingo. Like, you know, you talk about basketball. Let's go to the home.
You got it. I vote yes.
Same.
Yeah.
Connor doesn't matter.
My vote doesn't even matter, but yes.
All right, you're in, Craig. He wants to learn the game. I love that. And to be honest with you, there's no one better to learn the game from than the Mike Missanelli show. We get a bad rap. We know the game, and we love the game. We get a bad rap.
We do. Mike started covering hockey, didn't he?
Yes.
Like, started his entire career that's been very long. He started covering hockey.
Of course. We love the game. We don't love the state of the team right now. And that nothing press conference yesterday. I mean, not no disrespect. Just
saying, like that. We are what we are. They are what they are.
He said nothing. So there's nothing to like react to because he said nothing. But that's not our fault. Mr. Fletcher could have laid something out there. Give us something, Chucky.
Did you know their power play's not great? It's huge breaking news out of yesterday.
Really?
Wow.
I think the last
no idea.
Something crazy like the last 11 games, they have like two power play goals and two shorthanded goals. So start.
That's not ideal.
That's not perfect. So, yeah, I'm aware of that. Like, he didn't give us anything. So, like, had he said something, we would have, well, yesterday, obviously, Kincaid would have been able to talk about it this morning. We would have talked about it yesterday. Only problem is he said nothing. Matt in Allentown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi.
What's up,
hey,
man?
With your favorites.
Yes.
My thought is, as long as the players are playing good, if they have good interaction with the spectators, that helps make them a fan favorite.
All right, so give an example then, Matt.
Well, I'm a season ticket holder for the Phantoms up in Allentown. And a couple years ago, they used to have like a photo session on ice with the players after a game. And like that was the year Mike McKenna was sent down to the Phantoms.
Okay.
And they allowed, I think it was about an hour, and there was a line of about 10 people left. The hour was up. They wanted him off the ice. And he said, no, he's staying until everyone that wants a picture gets it.
Now, I respect that, but not everybody does that. Like, Embiid could not do a signing because he couldn't leave the signing. Like, if he went to the signing, he could never leave. I've seen that with James Gandolfini, rest in peace, in Atlantic City. He was supposed to sign for a certain amount of time. He signed for an extra, like, 30 minutes. Yep. And then at some point he had to stop, and the guy cursed him out.
Yeah. Oh, I can see that point, too.
That makes it tough. It's same. Yeah. I saw one time with an Eagles player back in the day during the vet days where his mother was with him, and his mother said, okay, I'm ready to go. And then as he's driving off, oh, you're too good to sign for your fans? His mother was with him at the game, and it was ready to go. So I think that played a role in that, too. So the signing part is tough because you can't, like, I'm a believer that you stop the line at the end of the time and you continue. But what happens if the line is 5,000 people?
You can only sign for so long. You got to sleep. You got to play the game. Like,
that's the tough part about those. I did see a former Phillies player who's very popular. That's not one of the big three. Who was like a jerk about it. There was like 4 people left in the line, and he just left.
Eric Brundlett.
No.
Classic.
No, better player than that. Who I was at a car dealership down towards the shore. Years ago, it was at a car dealership, and it was like, he signed for like the hour, and there was like 4 people left.
And
just left.
Like, that's sad.
Like, that part, I was like, all right, you can sign for these 4 people. You're not that popping. There's 4 of them. Sign. And he just left those people. That was a little bit different. His mom wasn't telling him to leave, and it wasn't 4 trillion people. All right, still a lot of show left. 610-632-0975. We've been getting to it. What makes a fan favorite in Philadelphia? We still also have sound off a little bit later on as well. And still your chance to join us in the suite on Suites Week. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Can I get an encore?
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
The Sean Kincaid Show.
The prospect of Gardner Minshew being the Eagles' starting quarterback, it has a chance to be really troublesome. It has the potential to create a short-lived quarterback controversy, which this city loves. It's better off for all involved if Hurts plays these last 5 games.
Anthony Gargano.
But today is Sixers-Celtics, and I have these fond memories of these Wednesday nights Sixers-Celtics. And it's so odd that I look at Sixers Celtics and it should be like one of these incredible rivalries, right? The rivalry was always incredible, but it should last.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Jalen Hurts will be good to go for Sunday against the Jets, and that's good for a number of reasons. Number one, the Eagles starting quarterback, and you always want your players to play. Number two, I think the Eagles are going to smoke the Jets. I think they're going to shake off what happened with the Giants and trounce the bad Jets team. And number three, I do not have the stomach for Minshew mania while we're still in the evaluation process for Jalen Hurts.
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia. More of the Mike Missinelli Show now
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Missinelli. Time for our final Twitter poll numbers. And that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Winter is here. It's chilly. And Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown is your stop for snow blowers, chainsaws, and generators all season long. Stop by their Doylestown location today or order online at paulbmoyer.com.
My turn?
Jennifer?
Our Twitter poll today, what is the biggest factor in a player becoming a fan favorite in Philly? You had four answers: work ethic, talent, personality, or being undersized. Being undersized sits at 1% right now. 11%, 11% personality.
Way more than that.
14% talent and 74% work ethic.
Stop! Man, it's personality is a lot of it.
Yeah, I think so too.
How is talent? What talent have? Like 11%?
14.
Only 14% of us care how good the player is.
Right. That seems a little weird.
I don't know if that's that wrong. I think that's part of our problem. Yeah. Mm. Man, who cares if they're good? They work hard. But I think really, who cares if they're good? They whine us and dine us. I'm telling you, Philadelphia in a way is that city with the guy who will cancel on the girl because she's not that important 29 times. But the one time he shows up, and the only reason he showed up is because someone else canceled on him. But he's fun, and then the girl. If you've never met a woman that likes guys like that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's Philadelphia.
Oh, we're a desperate city. We're a desperate sports city.
Is that what it is? Desperation?
It's desperation.
It's desperation.
Aww. How many championships have we seen?
Oh, I guess you're right.
It's desperation.
Right. It's desperation. I do. The guy, he canceled, but he's so nice.
When you only close like six times in 100 years, you'll take what you can get.
Right. So this guy says he wants to win and has the same attitude as me. So, you know, when I'm typing my calculator buttons, he dribbles the same way. We're connected. Like, come on.
He's not that tall, but I mean, he showed up.
But we got to stop faking like the size doesn't matter. We better stop.
Yeah, it does matter.
Like, we in Philadelphia...
What are we talking about here?
Well...
Oh, come on, Connor.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to do, Connor. Take us down to that. We have a certain level...
That was the word.
We have a certain level of decorum on this program.
Do we?
Do we? Because last time I was on this program, we had... we were eating some weird things at some festival.
That was her.
Okay, well, she's part of the program.
That was a bit, Connor.
That was a bit?
That's a bit.
I saw the tweets about you wanted to dunk them in ranch. don't play this off like a bit. If you would try them, it's not a bit.
No, that's not true.
I don't know about all that.
All right. Still a few more chances to sit in the suite as well. It's Sweet Sweet. December 21st, Flyers versus the Capitals. Good game. Here we go. Josh and Delmar, you're on 97.5 Fanatic, or is that Belmar?
Belmar.
All right. What's up, Josh?
How you doing, Tyrone?
Good, man.
Well, I got to say, I'm kind of done with Hurts. Like, you got to give him the season. I get it.
You have to. You have a responsibility to give him the five more starts, so you have the full 21 starts to judge him.
Yeah, I get it. The only stat I keep seeing, my brother keeps bringing up to me, is that he has not beaten a single NFC East team yet.
He has four more chances still. One more Giants, two Washington, and Dallas. He has four more chances. Now, if he finishes, hold on. If the only win they get the rest of the season is just the Jets, and he loses all the other division games, then yeah, he won't be the quarterback. But I think he's going to win some division games this year.
I hope we should have won New York. I was up in New York. He should have won that game.
Of course you should have. That was a bad loss.
Yeah, that was a bad loss. I'm blaming as much on him as you got to share some of the blame with Sirianni not running the ball when he was. They couldn't stop the run, but
it was also on him. He only threw 31 times. He's got to be able.
Yeah, that ain't a lot of throws. I don't get why. Like my brother defends Hurts all the time. I don't get why. He's a good running quarterback. He's the leader you want. Like he's a great locker room guy. But I don't know. I don't know if he's got the arm talent to do to lead us all the way to where we want to be.
Well, we'll find out. He's got 5 more starts in order to do so. And I believe that he I just want to see how it plays out. But I know he doesn't stink. Like I'm 100% sure he doesn't stink. The question is, can he be the guy? And if he can't be the guy, well, there's a guy in Seattle you should go get. And then next year, go make the playoffs and see if you can compete. That's what you do. If he's the guy, you ride with him. If he's not the guy, you call Seattle. You trade 2 of the first, not all 3. You can still help your defense. You still have other draft picks. And then Russell Wilson, you try to win next year. To me, that's what I do. I'm probably not drafting a kid. Then again, I'm not a scout, though. Maybe the scout says this kid's a can't miss. Howie doesn't know, but the scouts do.
You're still good with Russ after what we've seen since he come back from the injury this year? Like, he's looked rough lately.
Yeah, I think that. With him? I think having fingers are important for quarterbacks.
Yeah, that plays.
So, I think it'll be fine.
Okay.
I think his finger got hurt. I think it's hard to throw without your fingers.
All right.
That's all. Chris in Dallytown, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone.
What's up, Chris?
How you doing? Listen, great job today.
Thank you.
Nice job. I got 2 things I wanted to bring up. One is a fan favorite, and the other one is my case.
Mm-hmm.
So from a fan favorite standpoint, and we just heard the Twitter poll result at 74% with work ethic leading, and I'd say that that's where I stand, right? It's all about ethic. But you said before, we're out of practice. We don't know what the work ethic is. How do we really know? Because we don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. We can't see it. But I think you had a caller about an hour ago say that the only thing that matters is what happens on the field, right? Or on the court or on the ice.
Yeah.
And that's what I see, right? So you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And then I think about you guys. And like Connor stepping up today, like you got the call, Mike's out. Connor just stepping in and producing the show today. And you guys have a strong work ethic, right? Because behind the scenes, you're on air for 4 hours a day, but we know that you guys, like Jen, she's got 3 stories a day, but she's probably reading about 30 things, and she has to decide, what am I going to bring to the show today, and what are my 3 things going to be, right? And you, I mean, you've got research to do and reading, you're watching the games, you're taking notes, you're tweeting back and forth during games.
And Chris, you leave out the second job, Sixers Outsiders, which will be on later on tonight. I mean, I'm always working, Chris. No, I'm just playing.
No, but you're absolutely right. Can I lead into my plea? Because that has something to do with it.
Of course, Chris.
Listen, we appreciate all the work you do and all the practice and then what goes into your work ethic and what you bring to the show. And Connor said before, you know, we like people to like us. Well, that's part of the reason why we do. That's why we tune in. It's like why we tune in to watch the game once a week with the Eagles, or why we tune in to watch the Flyers twice a week,
pretty,
right?
Pretty good,
that's what,
Chris.
That's what we do.
Pretty good. So I'm going to vote last. Connor, vote.
Okay. But I didn't even see my case.
That's enough of a case. It's a little pandery. It was like the Fanatic suit, but I'm going to give him a yes. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Jennifer?
I'm going to give him a yes.
And therefore you're in, Chris. Boom. There it is.
It was a little close to pandery.
I was joking about the work thing. Everybody works. Like I say, the majority of people work. One of the more annoying things in life are people who need to tell you how hard they're working.
Then they're not working hard.
Right. They have to do all that complaining about
it. Like, that's just been my experience. Right,
just put your head down and work.
Yeah, and then there's some that are working hard. But because of something that's going on in the past or some issue they've got with themselves, they got to tell you to make sure you acknowledge it. Like, I don't know, dribbling a basketball in a hotel room at 2 a.m.
Right.
Just for instance. Just right. Pulling it out of the back of my mind. I don't know.
Oh, my coffee car. I mean, look, got coffee. Ugh. You know, I don't think I could have dealt with them staying here. Like, I know the Sixers would be better.
You win, you're going to deal with it.
I couldn't.
You win, you're going to deal with it.
I root against him.
we lived with 2-5 winning for a little bit, and
Jimmy,
he was always a little
Jimmy
bit of a
Butler is insufferable. Like, oh, really, Jimmy? Oh, you just want to win, right? That's all you care about. Everyone else cares about something different, right? Right, James? David Sutter City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Club Tyrone.
What's up, Dave?
I know I'm up against Sandoff, but let me get this in. Where's the problem? The Eagles lose to the lowly Giants. Was there a problem when the lowly Jacksonville Jags held the Bills to 2 field goals and beat them?
Yes, people are wondering what's up with the Bills and why. Why aren't they winning? Yes, people were very upset in Buffalo.
Yeah, well, was there a problem when the lowly Lions went to the Steelers and held them to a tie?
Yes, people were like, Big Ben is cooked. How can he not be? Or the other, there was major problems, yeah.
Was there a problem when the Dolphins had stunk at the time, shut down the Ravens on Thursday night?
Yes.
We're in good shape.
People were saying that Lamar Jackson stinks. Yes, in all of those cases, there was criticism of the teams, Dave. Yeah.
Was Club Tyrone, when the Bengals got blown away by the lowly Jets, when the Titans, who were the best team in the AFC, lost to the Jets in overtime, was there a problem? Club Tyrone, we're in good shape right now, brother.
Good shape meaning what?
He's a playoff fan, and nobody wants to deal with Jalen Hurts and his greatest show on turf.
Well, hold on, Dave. He's injured right now, so he might be hobbled a bit, which I actually would not be okay with as long as he's not putting himself in danger.
All right, so they're going to
win with his arm.
Is this Ham and Egg or any good they're going to bring in?
He's playing on Sunday.
Oh, Minshew?
No, Hurts said he's
playing. Oh, he'll be fine. Hey, listen, Sandoff's coming up. I love you guys.
I appreciate it, Dave. See, I had to do that to Dave, but everything he was saying was inaccurate. It puts me in a bind. Everything he was saying was inaccurate.
Every single game.
Every one of those. Man, what's up with Buffalo? Man, the Steelers couldn't beat the Lions. Like, we've seen the Lions. It was horrendous that the Steelers could go beat that Lions team. But that was the worst football game of the year so far. That was terribly played. Missed field goals, missed everything. Missed tackles, missed passes, missed blocks, missed everything. That game was horrendous. That was barely football. That was barely football. All right. Well, that's our time as far as this part of the show. But on the other side, I'm very excited to hear because I have no idea what people are going to talk about. There weren't games yesterday. On the other side, we'll have Sound Off.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be faking me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Sound off.
All right, sound off. 610-771-9705.
That's a dramatic pause.
Yeah, it is the line for both cowards and for busy people. And let's see what we have today.
Whoa. Whoa, General T.Y. Johnson. That's not how you open the show, doing that to my girl Jen. You can't talk to her like that. And are you busting on her right out the gate? Relax a little bit. Word of the day favorite, my favorite, is Jen Scordo.
Jen jumped at me first.
I did.
Yes.
Unbelievable. They don't see the behind the scenes either.
Yeah,
everything.
Like Jen's a real problem around here.
The state of her workspace.
Man. Right. Like Jen's a real problem around here. And then you come down on me. It's unbelievable.
Why do we keep getting cheap when it comes to hiring coaches? Why are we always hiring rookie coaches instead of trying to hire somebody that can train up rookies that we got?
I don't know who he's referring to.
It's got to be Sirianni.
Well, but all right, look at all. Doc Rivers, is he a rookie coach? He says, why do we keep weak? Doc Rivers?
How Joe about Girardi's a World Series winner.
How about AV? He's been around a few times.
Been to multiple cups. Yeah, I don't know.
And my man Jim Curtin's getting ready to win the whole shebang. They don't keep doing anything.
Love Maxie. He's a hard worker, and he's essence of Allen Iverson. Also love Connor, and I want to hear that McChicken story again later.
What McChicken story?
Do we
have time for the McChicken story?
Just really, there's a reason I don't eat McDonald's anymore, because one time I was a little intoxicated. My buddy took me through the drive-thru. I got 6 McChickens and ate them all. Made me sick, and I know it's too many, way too many.
That's not McDonald's problem. That's you.
I know. That's why I stopped eating them. I can't control myself. It's not on them. It's on me. I don't have control.
All right, man. We'll do better.
Mike, I have two things. One, we're on a Korkmaz lover, because Korkmaz has looked like Korkmaz that you and I know he is, which is a guy who really can't play that very well in the NBA. And two, you know, there's a lot of shows it seems like Jen has not seen. Chicago PD, Law and Order. You know, y'all need to interrupt the speed on some of the better shows to watch on television.
It's another example of how Jen's been a real problem around here. Yeah, I got to deal with people first person defending Jen. Jen's the problem, not us. She doesn't see anything.
No
law and orders.
None.
And when you try and get her to watch something, she'll watch like the clean edited version.
She watched Law and Order in Spanish.
I tried to.
Do you speak Spanish?
No.
What are you doing watching Law?
It was the only Law and Order that was on.
Come on.
It was.
You can't find another Law and Order.
On that particular night, it was the only one that was on.
Do you have Hulu?
I do have Hulu.
Do you have Peacock?
Yes, I do.
Every episode's on those.
Okay.
Well, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of SoundArt.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com. Yo.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right. That is our time. Thanks to Booney, Connor, Jen, Matt. Everybody listen, everybody watch. I greatly appreciate it. Up next, the winner of the suite, John Sobolewski. You'll be hanging out with us on the Flyer Suite on December 21st for the Capitals game. So that's cool. Congratulations to you on 97.5 The Fanatic. Up next is an on-location Beers with Bob, and on NBC Sports Philadelphia, What's Brewing is up next. And I will see everybody. Mike will be back tomorrow, and I'll see everybody on Sixers Outsiders tonight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.